96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
Recently, my very good friend, Virge Anselmo, donated a very large amount of money to my campaign. In fact, history-making. Anselmo came to this county a few years ago with one thing in mind, to spare no expense and build the finest restaurant and winery. But after the county resource manager consistently harassed him, embarrassed him, and over-regulated him to the point he left this county never to return. I can't do anything for Mr. Anselmo now, but I vow to stop this type of corruption from happening to others. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and yes, I'll spend every penny of that donation, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 4.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique abilities. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner. I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military.
I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Work for you, not the insurance company, so if you hit any speed bumps during the application process, they will take care of everything. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius a 5-star rating across over 1,600 reviews on Trustpilot and Google. So, if you need life insurance, you have but one choice. Head to PolicyGenius.com right now to get started. You could save 50% or more by comparing quotes. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and important to get it right. Okay, so that statistic that Trump has made people more optimistic than they were 4 years ago about where they are in the country. That is an astonishingly positive statistic for an incumbent president, but Trump is trailing in the polls. And the media have a stake, obviously. They hate Trump. The coverage of Trump for the last 4 years since his election, that coverage has been overwhelmingly bad. I mean, 90% of the coverage has been negative on Trump, despite all of the accomplishments, despite the fact that the economy was booming. Every single thing that Trump has done wrong has been magnified, and every single thing that he has done right has been minimized, to the point where peace breaks out in the Middle East, and suddenly that is now being printed on page A18 of the New York Times, whereas if Barack Obama had farted anywhere in the general region, it would have been A1 news. Anytime Barack Obama said a thing that the media loved, which was every single day, A1 news. Whenever Trump says something that they don't like, that is A1 news, but when he does something that is wonderful, that is page A18. And right now, the media are so open in their bias. It's one of the reasons why the left cannot be allowed to win this election, because the media apparatus have basically mobilized full score behind the hard radical left position while pretending to be objective at the same time. It's insulting to the American people. It's ridiculous. They've given up any pretense that they once had of objectivity, but then they gaslight you by claiming they continue to be objective journalists. They simply are not. And the best case in point of this is the fact that Joe Biden, the Democratic presidential candidate, the likely next president by the polls, and his running mate, Kamala Harris, refused to answer a very simple but quite important question. Are you going to pack the Supreme Court? Are you going to add seats to the Supreme Court of the United States? Remember, that was a policy so radical that FDR in 1937, when he tried to do this, was rebuked by members of his own party. The Republicans did not control Congress at that time. Democrats overwhelmingly controlled Congress. And Democrats in Congress were like, I think we're going to hit pause on this one. Democrats now, however, are so angry at the prospect of Amy Coney Barrett replacing Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the Supreme Court because they believe the Supreme Court should just be a tool of policymaking on behalf of the left rather than a counter-majoritarian institution designed to prevent excesses that overrun your rights, which is the original design of the Supreme Court. They believe the Supreme Court should just be another tool in their arsenal, and they're so angry that they want to openly make it another tool in their arsenal. This is the game the left play, whether it's the media or whether it's the Supreme Court, whether it's the executive branch. All institutions become tools in their arsenal. At the same time, they claim that those institutions have institutional legitimacy. So they play this double game where they wreck the institutional legitimacy, but then claim that you should respect the institution because the institutional legitimacy ought to remain. And that is untenable. It is so Joe Biden was asked directly yesterday, again, about court packing. Now remember, Kamala Harris was asked in debate just 2 nights ago what she would do about court packing, and she refused to answer the question, and Mike Pence kept drilling her on it, and she kept refusing to answer the question, and then eventually, she just called him a racist. So Joe Biden, standing far away from Kamala Harris in an airplane hangar in Phoenix, Arizona, he was asked specifically about court packing, and his answer is so unacceptable for any political candidate that it should have the media up in arms. Imagine. I mean, you don't even have to imagine it. Donald Trump has many, many, many times been asked about particular kind of crazy policies. And Donald Trump's go-to when there is a crazy policy suggestion that he doesn't know anything about is to say, well, we've been thinking about it. We think about all options. All options have been thought about. And the media go, oh, well, that means that he's totally for it, right? I mean, we got to take that seriously. We got to take that stuff super seriously. Now, the difference is, again, that is Trump's go-to option. But Joe Biden has thought pretty seriously about court packing. Kamala Harris came out in 2019 and talked openly about the possibility of court packing. Other members of the Democratic Party, high echelon members of the Democratic Party, have openly backed court packing. In the Democratic debates, many of the candidates said they would back court packing. Joe Biden at the time said he would not. Now he has gone completely silent on the issue, which sort of bespeaks that he may have changed his opinion. So he was asked directly yesterday. This is not the first time. He was asked last week, 3 separate times in a row, whether he would back court packing. He said, people are already voting. People are already voting. So yesterday he was asked about whether he would back court packing, his answer was mystery meat. It was mystery meat. What could this chicken surprise be? Is it chicken or is it frog? Who knows? You're going to find out afterward. I saw a tweet yesterday. Characterizing Biden's response here, which is, do you take this woman for better or for worse? Do you pledge your chastity and fidelity? You'll find out after the wedding. Hey, here was Joe Biden doing this. I mean, it's unbelievable.
You'll know my opinion of court packing when the election is over. Now, look, I know it's a great question, y'all, and I don't blame you for asking. But you know, the moment I answer that question, the headline in every one of your papers will be about that. Other than focusing on what's happening now.
That is such an unbelievably unacceptable answer. Are you going to completely delegitimize the third branch of government by making it an overtly political institution in which you just stack the court with a bunch of Democrats? And he says, well, you'll find out after the election. You'll find out, you know, afterward. We have to pass the bill to find out what's in it, as Nancy Pelosi once said about Obamacare. We found out what was in it. Wasn't that great? You have to elect me to find out what I'm going to do is a crappy, unbelievably crappy response to, are you going to completely wreck the third branch of government? That's wild. That is wild stuff. And the media just sit there and they accept it. I mean, they really accept it. Seriously. There's an article in the Washington Post today talking about how Republicans pounce. Very, very pouncy. See, here's the rule in the media, as my friend Andrew Klavan has said. When Republicans do something bad, the bad thing is the story. When Democrats do something bad, the Republicans pouncing is the story. The Washington Post headline was, Republicans continue attacking Biden, Harris, over hypothetical court packing question. Hypothetical? It's not hypothetical when your own people have put it out there. When you have said that you refuse to, like, hypothetical? Imagine if somebody asked Donald Trump, are you for a federal ban on all abortions from point of conception? And he said, you know what, we'll have to find out after the election where I stand on that particular issue. Like, maybe, maybe not, I don't know. You're going to have to find out. Like, you think the media would be satisfied with that answer? But now, it's Republicans pouncing, of course. So much pouncing. It's a hypothetical. Pouncing. According to the Washington Post, Democratic nominee Joe Biden and running mate Kamala Harris are facing growing pressure to say whether they would pack the Supreme Court if the Republican-led Senate names Amy Coney Barrett to the bench. Over the past few days, the question from Republicans, debate moderators, and reporters has dogged the pair. It came up again Thursday when Biden was asked at a campaign stop in Phoenix if he would support expanding the Supreme Court beyond 9 justices. It re-entered the conversation in earnest after the death of RBG. Although the Republican-controlled Senate refused to consider Barack Obama's nomination in Merrick Garland in 2016, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and his allies have promised to confirm Barrett by November 3rd. Yes, because the Republicans control the executive and the legislature, or at least the Senate. In response, some Democrats have vowed to leave nothing on the proverbial table should the party take control of the White House and the Senate. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer hinted he would not rule out court packing. Again, it is amazing that the Washington Post is covering this as a story of Republicans pouncing. If you were talking about the Republicans adding seats to the Supreme Court, which they could theoretically do right now, they have a majority in the Senate. Presumably, the Democrats and the media would not be talking about Democrats pouncing. They'd be talking about the underlying issue. But Joe Biden is so confident that the media will cover his ass for him that he refuses to answer the most basic questions, knowing that he can literally get away with anything. They can ask him any question under the sun, and he will say, The focus right now should be on Donald Mitchell. And the media will go, you know what? He's right. That Trump guy, he's bad. He's bad. We don't need any questions answered. Like, really, we got nothing. Joe, you're right. Let's go ask some questions of Donald Trump. And meanwhile, Joe Biden prepping the way for Kamala Harris to become president. So if you like what you saw in that debate, meaning if you are addled, then Joe Biden has got somebody for you. He says that Kamala Harris was really presidential. Now, the fact that he feels the need to say this demonstrates where everybody's head is at. Now, I don't remember Donald Trump saying this about Mike Pence. I don't remember George W. Bush saying this about Dick Cheney. Well, he's very, very presidential. What I remember more was he did a good job in the debate. See, the president is supposed to be presidential, and the vice president is supposed to be vice presidential. But because everybody's afraid that Biden's going to plot on the job, now Biden is forced to talk about how presidential Kamala Harris is when she is, at the very least, very non-presidential. Smirky McSmirk face. By the way, love how the media treats smirking. If you're a high school student and a Native American activist comes up to your face and bangs a drum in your face, and you have an awkward smile, that is a smirk. It's a smirk. It's a racist smirk. If you're Kamala Harris and you smirk for 90 minutes against the vice president of the United States while he simply lays facts on you, then that means that you are slaying, Queen. Anyway, here was Joe Biden talking about how presidential Kamala Harris was.
I thought Kamala did a great job last night. She was really presidential. She's stepping on focus. I was really proud of her. I'm looking forward to seeing her.
Well, good news. She'll never have to answer a question, as she did in the debate. Speaking of people who will never have to answer questions, Nancy Pelosi laid out there yesterday that she wants to create a new commission that would be able to objectively evaluate the president's health and mental health and deprive him of the presidency and hand it over to the vice presidency. So, number one, real backhanded slap at Joe right there, isn't that, Nancy? I mean, if you're so confident Joe Biden is going to be elected president, it seems like kind of a slap. Like, you think that Joe's lost his mind and you might have to hand it over to Kamala Harris. But obviously, this is directed at Trump and the belief that the 25th Amendment should not be left to Trump's cabinet. Instead, it should be left to some nonpartisan body, which is to say people appointed by people like Nancy Pelosi. Here's Pelosi talking about changing the 25th Amendment to the Constitution to allow an outside body to evaluate whether the president of the United States ought to continue in his job, which is just insane.
When we hear people saying I'm young and I'm a perfect specimen, instead of addressing the fact that, what, 50,000 people were reports being infected yesterday, nearly 1,000 people died. What are we talking about here? Tomorrow, by the way, come here tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the 25th Amendment.
So what exactly is she talking about? Well, right now, the 25th Amendment allows for the temporary ouster of a disabled president. It requires the active participation of a majority of the cabinet. Pelosi, however, is now saying that she wants some other body to determine whether, in fact, the president of the United States ought to be ousted from his job. Pelosi and Representative Jamie Raskin of Maryland said in a press release they will introduce a bill creating a commission to evaluate the presidential mental and physical fitness. The bill would change to establish a commission on presidential capacity to discharge the powers and duties of office that would enable Congress to help ensure effective and uninterrupted leadership in the highest office in the executive branch of government. So in other words, they're no longer going to have to in any way impeach. Now they will just go to the Commission on Presidential Capacity to Discharge the Powers and Duties of Office, and they will evaluate whether the President of the United States is actually worthy of continuing in his job. By the way, that addled octogenarian, she's totally fine. Right? We're told that Donald Trump has lost his mind, but Joe Biden, who will not answer a single question and can't get through seven sentences without nearly falling off his feet, and Nancy Pelosi, who has not said a coherent thing in at least 2 years, these are the people who should decide whether Donald Trump gets to stay in his job after a duly elected president becomes the president. These are institutional attacks on the Republican government. And I don't mean big R Republican. I mean small R Republican. These are institutional attacks. But the good news is the media hates Trump so much that they will just ignore all of them. Coming up, another story surrounding the Biden campaign the media simply will not ask him about. And it's kind of bad. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
He was the heart of your family, and he taught you our history. He helped you fix your first flat. He was the best backyard DJ around, and every time he'd tell a story, he'd own the room. But now more than ever, he may feel alone. Today, older adults and their loved ones are struggling to connect in a time when connection has never been more important. But there is something we can do. Embrace our older loved ones through StoryCorps Connect. With StoryCorps Connect, you can honor seniors remotely with an interview about their life. Every interview will be archived at the Library of Congress, becoming part of American history, so that years from now, future generations can listen in.
All right, Grandpa, what's one piece of advice you have for me?
Just three words, sweetheart. Live with courage.
The man that had the best stories still has plenty of stories to tell. So connect virtually and share the conversation of a lifetime at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. Connect. Honor, share, StoryCorps Connect. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So the media have decided they will never force Joe Biden to answer a question. It just won't happen. They'll let him get away with nearly anything. It turns out that Devon Archer, you haven't heard of Devon Archer. He was the business partner of Hunter Biden. Now it turns out he's going to jail. So imagine that the business partner of Donald Trump Jr. were going to jail today. And let's assume Donald Trump Jr. had been jet-setting around the globe, picking up bags of cash on behalf of his, while using the name of his president father. Wouldn't that be like a big scandal? Wouldn't it be? But apparently, Hunter Biden is a complete non-story. And the fact that Hunter Biden's business partner is now headed off to jail for fraud, that, of course, is a non-story as well. The Wall Street Journal reports today, a federal appeals court reinstated the conviction of a former business associate of Hunter Biden on securities fraud and conspiracy charges, ruling a lower court judge erred last year in vacating a jury's verdict. A three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit ruled that Devon Archer, quote, knew at least the general nature and extent of the scheme and intended to bring about its success. The fraud involved the sale of $60 million in bonds issued by an economic development corporation affiliated with the Native American tribe. The proceeds were misused by Archer and others, according to prosecutors. Archer and Biden were business partners. At various times, they served together on the board of Ukrainian gas producer Burisma Holdings. Hunter Biden's name was invoked at various stages of the fraud as a selling point in transactions, according to trial testimony. But the son of the Democratic presidential nominee, Joe Biden, didn't know about it, was not involved with that particular scheme, according to Hunter Biden's attorneys. Federal prosecutors never alleged that Hunter Biden was aware of the scheme. However, he was deeply involved with Devon Archer in a variety of businesses where they were traveling around the globe, picking up bags of cash in foreign countries. According to Joe Biden, Hunter is pure as the driven snow, so that will never be asked. Meanwhile, Donald Trump may never get the chance to ask some of these questions about court packing or about anything else, because, of course, the Commission on Presidential Debate announced unilaterally, without consulting medical authorities, that they were simply going to cancel the second presidential debate, essentially. They're going to make it a Zoom debate. Well, normally, in order to do that, they said for health reasons. Wouldn't you have to consult some doctors in order to do that? Well, apparently they didn't even bother to do so. It turns out that today, the doctor for the president, Sean Conley, released a health update on Trump. So today, the president has completed his course of therapy for COVID-19 as prescribed by his team of physicians. This afternoon's vital signs were heart rate 69 beats a minute, blood pressure 127 over 81, which is quite healthy, respiratory rate 15 to 17 breaths a minute, and pulse oximetry, 96 to 98% room air. Since returning home, his physical exam has remained stable and devoid of any indications to suggest progression of illness. Overall, he's responded extremely well to treatment without evidence on examination of adverse therapeutic effects. Saturday will be day 10 since Thursday's diagnosis. Based on the trajectory of advanced diagnosis the team has been conducting, I fully anticipate the president's safe return to public engagements at that time. So in other words, Trump can do public events, according to his own doctors, by Saturday. Doesn't matter. The Commission on Presidential Debate decided it was going to be a Zoom debate. Good news, the media, of course, go right along with this, which is not a shock at all. ABC News has announced a town hall for Joe Biden, moderated by George Stephanopoulos. The primetime event will take place in Philadelphia, where the former VP will answer questions from voters. So I do love the fact that apparently Biden is going to fly in. He will be at the live event with George Stephanopoulos. I don't think he's going to be there virtually. That's okay. But if there's a debate, that's not okay. Mm-hmm. Coming up, we'll talk about political rhetoric and violence because Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, is now blaming Trump for an attempted terror attack on her. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Did you know that the city of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So, what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world: family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Thanks to the dedication of the people of Shasta County, we are able to move more quickly through Phase 2 of California's COVID-19 reopening plan. As our friends and neighbors reopen their businesses, remember this carefully thought-out plan is necessary to continue to limit the spread of COVID-19, and following the reopening guidance is critical. We still need to do everything we can to protect our vulnerable neighbors. Those aged 65 and older or with underlying medical conditions should stay home as much as possible. Non-essential travel and mass gatherings are still not allowed at this time, and we all need to continue to practice social distancing, wear masks when out in public, stay home when sick, and practice respiratory hygiene. To see a list of businesses that can reopen with modifications, go to ShastaReady.org and click on Roadmap to Recovery. Our continued dedication to reopening in a safe, controlled manner will help us beat COVID-19 and continue to move forward.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
For literally years. Okay, here's the perspective. If you are not openly advocating violence, if you're not advocating violence, you're not responsible for violence. And if somebody misuses your words to go do something evil, you are not responsible for them misusing your words to go do evil. Also, you cannot impute to somebody motive that they did not actually show. Meaning that if somebody goes and does something and they have nothing to do with me or Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump or Barack Obama, you cannot then claim that they have something to do with us. You cannot do that. Okay, because that is unfair and it is wrong. There is something called the scope of agency in law. There's a concept called scope of agency. Scope of agency is where I deploy an agent to go do X. Right? I want producer Colton to go to go pick up something at FedEx for the purposes of the studio. He is now my agent and going to pick up the thing at FedEx for purposes of the studio. Okay, if Colton then, for some odd reason, decides to go out and do cocaine on the side of the road, that is outside the scope of agency. I'm not implying anything about Colton's activities right now. Colton's really taking on the shin today. The fact is that outside the scope of agency is outside the scope of agency. Well, there is no agency when someone decides to commit a terror attack against a sitting governor in the United States. Okay, it's not like Donald Trump was like, you know what, guys? I want you to go perform a terrorist act. The reason that I am bringing this up is because the media and the Democrats are now claiming that Donald Trump is responsible for an attempted kidnapping plot against Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Okay, so, Governor Gretchen Whitmer. According to the Detroit Free Press, the Wolverine Watchmen Militia Group didn't just plot to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer. They were on a mission to attack the state capitol and target police officers at their homes as part of a broader mission to instigate a civil war, according to authorities. Thursday, they announced this in announcing felony charges against 13 militia members accused in a sensational case of domestic terrorism. Attorney General Dana Nessel referred to the accused as extremists who are hoping to recruit new members by seizing on a moment of civil unrest to wreak havoc on the country. She identified the militia group as the Wolverine Watchmen, whose members are accused of, among other things, conducting surveillance outside Whitmer's vacation residence, using code language and encrypted messages to throw off police, and planting a bomb under a bridge to divert law enforcement. So obviously, an act of tremendous evil they were planning here. Nessel said there's been a disturbing increase in anti-government rhetoric and the reemergence of groups that embrace extremist ideologies. This is more than just political disagreement or passionate advocacy. Some of these groups' mission is simply to create chaos and inflict harm upon others. Okay, so the implication the media have drawn from this is that because these people were anti-government and wanted to start a civil war and were members of what would be probably termed a far-right militia, that they must have been Trump fans or that Trump instructed them to do all of this or something like that, which is like Republicans claiming that the congressional baseball shooting is the responsibility of Bernie Sanders because a Bernie Sanders fan went and shot members of Congress and nearly killed Steve Scalise. But here's the thing. The right generally refrains from this. The left is not. The left tried to blame the Oklahoma City bombing on Rush Limbaugh. Now the left is attempting to blame this kidnapping plot on Donald Trump. The Wolverine Watchmen group is one of an estimated 2 to 3 dozen Michigan militia groups some fear could pose a growing threat, according to the Detroit Free Press. The state has always been a hotbed for militia activity, says Amy Cooter, senior lecturer at Vanderbilt University. Thursday, law enforcement arrested 13 people, including 7 members of Wolverine Watchmen. Apparently, they wanted to kidnap her, take her to Wisconsin, and put her on trial for treason. The conspirators were frustrated and upset about many things, including the fact that during the pandemic, the state was controlling gym openings. They called Whitmer a tyrant B-word and sought to train and recruit others into their ranks. More than a dozen people, investigators said, met in Dublin, Ohio, and sought to form, quote, a society that followed the U.S. Bill of Rights and where they could be self-sufficient. They discussed peaceful and violent ways to do this. Well, you know what is not in the U.S. Bill of Rights? Actually kidnapping sitting members of the government and then attempting to execute them. It turns out these people can't read, apparently. They believe state governments were violating the Constitution, and they talked about murdering tyrants or taking a sitting governor. The Wolverine Watchmen was founded by Pete Musico, 42, and Joseph Morrison, 26, who lived together in Munich, Michigan, and are now each charged with a threat of terrorism. Throughout the summer, a combined group decided they needed firearms and tactical training and homemade bombs to blow up police vehicles and 200 men to storm the Capitol and take hostages. They also discussed a shooting at the governor's vacation home. And so, most of the militia groups in Michigan, according to this professor, are law-abiding, so not all militia groups are the same. Here's the prosecutor saying that their plan was a civil war. What they actually wanted was tremendous levels of violence in the streets.
The individuals in custody are suspected to have attempted to identify the home addresses of law enforcement officers in order to target them, made threats of violence intended to instigate a civil war, and engaged in planning and training for an operation to attack the Capitol building of Michigan and to kidnap government officials, including the governor of Michigan.
Okay, so this prompted Governor Gretchen Whitmer to say that this was all Trump's fault. So this is an incredible thing. It really is. I mean, it's like if Republicans had come out after the congressional baseball shooting and overtly blamed Bernie Sanders. No one did this. Only members of the left get away with this kind of crap, implying that their political opponents are responsible for acts of violence of which they not only do not approve, but in this case, Trump's DOJ was intimately involved in the actual prosecution here. But here is Gretchen Whitmer. I mean, it is pretty despicable to claim that your political opponents are responsible for acts of violence against you. Not the ones who are actually performing the violence, but people, broadly speaking, who oppose your lockdown policies. But that's exactly what Gretchen Whitmer does right here.
Just last week, the President of the United States stood before the American people and refused to condemn white supremacists and hate groups like these two Michigan militia groups. When our leaders speak, their words matter. They carry weight. When our leaders meet with, encourage, or fraternize with domestic terrorists, they legitimize their actions, and they are complicit.
Okay, so I have a question then. If we are now going to use this logic, presumably the entire Democratic leadership is responsible for the excesses of Black Lives Matter who have been burning down cities. Again, Bernie Sanders is responsible for the congressional baseball shooting. This would make Barack Obama responsible for the Dallas police shootings that happened back in 2016. It would make Barack Obama responsible for the riots that happened in Milwaukee. But we can play this game all day long. We can play it all day. Okay, but this game is a stupid game, and it's an immoral game. And as a game, apparently Democrats get away, and the media just backed them. Tim Alberta of the Washington Post, he tweeted out, if the president read his intel briefings and understood the dogma of white nationalist groups, he'd realize that language like liberate Michigan is read as tacit permission, if not explicit encouragement, for militias to take action. Okay, you remember that back in the middle of the pandemic, April 17th, Trump tweeted out in all capital letters, liberate Michigan. And I at the time was like, this seems like kind of a dumb tactic. Like, why don't you make a policy and then tell people what your policy is? But, you know, liberate Michigan is not a call to do violence against the Michigan government. Amy Siskind, who is another member of the left-wing media, she tweeted out, the FBI thwarted what they describe as a plot to violently overthrow the government and kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. The plot was hatched by Michigan militia. Recall the liberate Michigan and repeated rhetoric from Trump. Members of the media were not shy about this. Keith Boykin of CNN, he said, Trump calls CNN the enemy of the people. Caesar Sayoc sends pipe bombs to CNN. Trump tweets about anarchists and agitators. Kyle Rittenhouse kills two people in Kenosha. Trump tweets, liberate Michigan. Six men try to kidnap the governor of Michigan. Okay, so number one, if you say that CNN is, quote unquote, the enemy of the people, I've decried that language because, frankly, I don't think that you should use the language of Joseph Stalin to describe members of the media. Okay, that does not mean you are responsible for people then threatening the media with acts of violence. Any more than the Democrats have been calling Trump, they're calling him a traitor and a person who is giving incentive to murder. Now, if somebody goes and tries to assassinate the president of the United States on that basis, I still don't think Keith Boykin's responsible for that. By the way, linking Kyle Rittenhouse with any of this is absurd. Kyle Rittenhouse did not go to Kenosha to murder anybody. So even listing him there is just, in this list, is just absurd on its face. Liberate Michigan is not, is there any evidence that we have seen that it was that tweet that had anything to do with anything? Like, seriously, did at some point, shouldn't you actually require some evidence? There's more evidence that the congressional baseball shooter was mimicking the language of Bernie Sanders than there is that these guys were following Trump's lead, especially because the alleged ringleader declared Donald Trump an enemy openly. He didn't like Trump. He thought Trump was a cuck. Right? He wanted civil war. He wanted unrest because he believed that it was up to the militias to liberate the country. Here is the alleged ringleader literally calling Donald Trump an enemy. But we ignore all of this, of course, because the narrative has to be promulgated.
Trump is not your friend, dude. And it amazes me that people actually, believe that when he's shown over and over and over again that he's a tyrant. Every single person that works for government is your enemy.
Okay, so Donald Trump's the president, calls him a tyrant, used exactly the same language that he used about Gretchen Whitmer. Does not matter. According to the media, this is all Trump's fault. This is how despicable the media are. I mean, truly despicable. And the fact that Gretchen Whitmer gets away with that, that's a despicable thing to say. It's a despicable thing to say. It is gross at the highest level. I think that Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar are horrific cretins and anti-Semites. I do not think they are calling openly for violence against Jews in the United States. And I would not blame Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib if some terrorist, some Islamist terrorist, decided to kill Jews. I would not blame Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. I can condemn their rhetoric without suggesting that they are calling for open violence against Jews. Okay, you can do the same thing with, believe it or not, you can make these distinctions. Nuance is allowed in politics, but here's the point. Lack of nuance is the goal. It is not a bug in the system. It is a feature for Democrats and for the media. They love the lack of nuance. And they love being able to cast Trump as some sort of terrorist ringleader on the basis of nothing. I mean, it's gross. Okay, we'll get to more of this in just one second. Of course, this is all about creating a broader overall narrative, which is, again, making the election a referendum on Trump personally and making Trump a stand-in for supposed American racism. And if the square peg does not fit into the round hole, then you just hammer away at the peg until it fits into the hole. We're going to see this in just a second. America is racist. America is evil. And it doesn't matter how you have to get to that conclusion. And how you get to the conclusion that Trump is the ringleader of this racist, evil America, you just keep hammering away. You just keep hammering away. And the media are doing it. Our business leaders are doing it. The culture clash in this country is getting to the point where it is getting almost unbridgeable. We'll talk about more of this in just one second. First, let's talk about your data. So, Silicon Valley, are these people that you trust? Do you trust their politics? Do you trust them to hold your data? That would be a mistake. If you can't trust Silicon Valley to treat conservatives fairly, how can you trust them to handle your privacy and personal online data? That's why I recommend using ExpressVPN every time you go online. Big tech companies can use your IP address to match your internet activity to your identity or location. When I use ExpressVPN, search engines and media sites can't see my IP address at all. My identity is masked and anonymized. ExpressVPN has the added benefit of encrypting 100% of your data to keep you safe from people you don't want having it. ExpressVPN software takes just 1 minute to set up on your computer or phone. You tap one button, you're now protected. So, if you are like me and you believe your internet data belongs to you, not to the tech companies who are going to monetize it and then use that money in order to stop you from seeing the stuff you want to see, use ExpressVPN. Protect your online activity today with the VPN I trust to keep my data safe. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben to claim an exclusive offer for my fans. That's expressvpn.com/Ben for 3 months free with a 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben to get started once more. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, so there is a broader overarching narrative that the Whitmer allegations tie into, and that is that America is a deeply racist place filled with white supremacist racists who are being emboldened by the president of the United States, and Democrats are fighting back against this horrific infrastructure in the United States. And corporate America has joined in on this ridiculous quest. The media are all in on all of this. All you have to do is just cast your reason out to the side. All you have to do is just become completely blind, deaf, and dumb to the actual real world in order to believe this kind of crap. So a few examples. Karen Attia, who's just an awful columnist over at the Washington Post. And she's a woman of color herself. I believe that she was up for the Pulitzer Prize at one point, but she's definitely a victimized human. She writes on international affairs and social issues. She has a piece today titled America Hates to Let Black Women Speak, all about how Mike Pence kept man-interrupting Kamala Harris. Karen Attia says it's hard to break glass ceilings while walking on a tightrope. But in her historic debate appearance on Wednesday, that's exactly what Kamala Harris had to do. That plexiglass had to be installed for the showdown between Harris and Vice President Pence was a visible reminder that the Trump administration has recklessly played down a deadly virus. The plexiglass was also an onstage reminder of the barriers that non-white women face when vying for political power in this country. Is that what the plexiglass was? Was it? Because it's plexiglass. So it was a visible reminder was the plexiglass. Very, very interesting stuff. Also, just going to note, by most counts, she actually talked more than he did. Also, is it really true that America hates to let black women speak? Oprah Winfrey is a very, very rich black woman. She's been a very, very rich black woman, maybe the most powerful and influential cultural voice in America over the past 30 years. Because America hates to let black women speak? Michelle Obama is the most popular woman in America by polling data. She happens to be a black woman. Does America hate to let black women speak? The main reason that Kamala Harris was selected as vice president is for her race and her gender. That's not me saying that. Joe Biden said it. He said he wanted a black woman. Right, so...
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Business Undertake. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
This is Ricky Rubio, point guard for the Phoenix Suns.
And I'm Holly Robinson Pee, actor and along with Ricky, ambassador for Delivering Jobs. We know that a job is empowering and instills confidence. Yet 81% of adults with developmental differences don't have a paid job, even though companies that employ people with differences report better morale and higher productivity.
There are 6.5 million people in the U.S. with an intellectual or developmental difference such as autism.
And now, thanks to Autism Speaks, Best Buddies, the Holly Rod Foundation, and Special Olympics, there has never been more opportunity to improve hiring practices and build a more inclusive workforce. Join me, Ricky Rubio, and these amazing organizations in supporting and creating pathways to 1 million employment and leadership opportunities for this talented community.
Visit deliveringjobs.org to learn more.
That's deliveringjobs.org.
Furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Yelp has decided to wreck its business. Yelp is now going to allow consumer alerts. You will be alerted if somebody alleges that a business has engaged in racism. I'm not kidding. So, some crazy person walks into the local Mickey D's and then pretends that somebody wrote a racist thing on their receipt. This has happened like 1,000 times now in the media. Yelp will now report that on the page and issue a consumer alert that perhaps this business is the site of racism based on an unsourced, unverified allegation by a random user. I can't imagine how people would misuse this. I can't imagine that people would attempt to shake down businesses by basically saying, you know what you could do? You could, you know, give me like a free coupon, or I could just go on Yelp and I could allege that you guys are mean to black people. I can't imagine that anybody would misuse this kind of thing. According to Yelp, quote, when we notice an unusual spike on an inactivity on a business's Yelp page, our team of moderators will investigate and temporarily disable content as we place an alert on the business's page to warn users that some of these reviews may not be based on firsthand experiences. But here's what we will do when an incident involving racism occurs. We'll default to a general public attention alert to inform consumers if someone associated with the business was accused of or the target of racist behavior. We'll only escalate to a business accused of racist behavior alert when there's resounding evidence of egregious racist actions from a business owner or employee, such as using overtly racist slurs or symbols. This alert will always link to a news article from a credible media outlet so users can learn more. Oh, so they'll launder all this crap through CNN. Great. So as soon as you have a credible news outlet, namely a left-wing news outlet, that accuses Mickey D's of racism, then you'll just link to it, and then you'll issue an alert, a business accused of racist behavior alert. If somebody is accused of racism, however, there will just be a public attention alert. So there, you don't even need evidence. A public attention alert will just, I can't imagine how this will be abused. Cannot imagine it. And you're seeing this kind of crap emerge at corporations around the country. You already saw Uber earlier this year suggest that they were going to give special discounts to black-owned businesses, which, by the way, I believe is federally illegal. I don't think that you actually are allowed to discriminate on the basis of race in pricing. It's an amazing, amazing thing. But according to Yelp, communities have always turned to Yelp in reaction to current events at the local level. As the nation reckons with issues of systemic racism, we've seen in the last few months there is a clear need to warn consumers about businesses associated with egregious, racially charged actions to help people make more informed spending decisions. Oh, is there? Is there now? Yes, no way this is misused. Probably it'll be great. Okay, meanwhile, how endemic is systemic racism? I mean, when I talk about the media and the corporate complex pushing this notion that America is systemically racist, and that if you don't say that America is systemically racist, you yourself are racist, I mean it. Okay, there's an article today from the Washington Post that is so absurd on its face that it ought to be completely disregarded. It will not be. It is part of a six-article series from the Washington Post titled Born with Two Strikes, How Systemic Racism Shaped George Floyd's Life and Hobbled His Ambition. Okay, now let's be real about George Floyd. Whatever happened to George Floyd, and it looks to me like excessive use of a police force to sit on the guy's neck for 8 minutes and 40 seconds. Okay, but that's excessive use of force. The case for murder is a lot shoddier. In fact, even the case for excessive force may not be shoddy depending on whether he was suffering from excited delirium. Okay, whatever the case is with George Floyd was not some wonderful person who was bound for glory in American life, but then was thwarted by systemic racism in America. That is not what happened to George Floyd. What happened to George Floyd can be a tragedy. It could also be a crime. But that does not mean that America is responsible for his personal failures throughout the course of his life. The Washington Post tries to claim that George Floyd was bound for the Supreme Court. I kid you not. I'm not kidding you. Here are the first words. George Floyd did time in jail for pointing a gun at a pregnant woman's stomach. By the way, the woman, I believe, was of color. He pointed a gun at her stomach during an armed robbery. But according to the Washington Post, that's just because of systemic American racism. I'm dead serious. This is the idiotic narrative. You ready? His life began as the last embers of the civil rights movement were flickering out. Its horrific videotaped end ignited the largest anti-racism movement since, with demonstrators the world over marching for racial justice in his name. During the 46 years in between, George Perry Floyd came of age as the strictures of Jim Crow discrimination in America gave way to an insidious form of systemic racism, one that continually undercut his ambitions. Early in life, he wanted to be a Supreme Court justice, then a pro athlete. At the end, he just longed for a little stability, training to be a commercial truck driver. All were bigger dreams than he was able to achieve in his version of America. I mean, like, this is the most absurd contention. His entire adult life appears to be a series of bad decisions. And yet, again, this is the fault of white America. It's the fault of white America. Amazing, amazing, amazing stuff. But this is the narrative that the media are attempting to draw. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Second presidential debate is a no-go. The Nonpartisan Commission on Presidential Debate says the event between President Trump and Joe Biden, slated for next Thursday, has been canceled, but the third debate on October 22nd, slated to go as scheduled. White House says President Trump has recovered from COVID-19.
In a memo released by the White House, Dr. Sean Conley says the president has completed his course of therapy, has normal vital signs, and has responded extremely well to treatment. And the doctor says he fully anticipates Mr. Trump can make a safe return to public engagements on Saturday, which is 10 days after the onset of his coronavirus symptoms. The president has not been seen in public, other than in White House-produced videos, since his Monday return from the hospital. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Also at townhall.com, no let-up for the folks in Louisiana. Hurricane Delta making landfall earlier today in the southwestern part of the state. Top winds 100 miles per hour. Very difficult time for those in the hospitality industry.
Data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics shows that the Baltimore area has shed tens of thousands of hospitality workers during the coronavirus pandemic. The Baltimore Sun reports that many people are choosing to leave the industry altogether. Restaurant work already required long hours and relentless demands, but the pandemic has also made it more physically dangerous and more volatile. Servers are terrified to face customers as the virus continues to spread, and bartenders are struggling to find shifts. The hospitality industry was facing a labor shortage before the pandemic, but business owners now say it's become even harder than usual to recruit workers. Keith Peters, Washington.
Baseball losing one of the all-time greats. Whitey Ford dead at 91. New York Yankees Hall of Fame left-hander spent 16 years in majors, all in the Bronx. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now, 1-800-200-6941. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible, without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now, 1-800-200-6941. That's 1-800-200-6941. 1-800-200-6941.
The Nobel's committee variant Reese Anderson announces the Peace Nobel Prize this year to the United Nations World Food Program.
The Norwegian Nobel Committee has decided to award the Nobel Peace Prize for 2020 to the World Food Program for its efforts to combat hunger.
European Union reportedly seeking progress now in trade talks with the United Kingdom, but insists there is no guarantee an agreement will be delivered on time. Both sides are negotiating against the clock to get a basic trade deal delivered by the end of the month. Some, however, say that could be pushing things. Solid gains on Wall Street, closing out its best week in some 3 months. Investigators encouraged on ongoing negotiations on Capitol Hill aimed at delivering more aid to the economy. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Bed space in hospitals now running out in Wisconsin and both Dakotas, but virus cases are spiking.
Wisconsin's governor's opening a field hospital at a fairground next week to handle overflow cases after a one-day high Thursday of over 3,000 new infections. North Dakota had hundreds of new cases and 24 deaths Wednesday, and South Dakota had 14 deaths, and some 15 hospitals are diverting patients elsewhere. Health monitors say mask usage is below 45% in those states, lower than the national average. Johns Hopkins University is reporting nationwide there's an increase to about 700 deaths a day and 44,000 new infections, leading to warnings that social distancing is more important now.
That is correspondent Jackie Quinn. More on these stories at townhall.com.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by free fire radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Mobility. He's also the co-founder of Vertex Partnership Academies and chairman of the board of Spence Chapin and a visiting senior fellow at the Woodson Center. He also writes for the 1776 Unites campaign. Ian, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the suggestion by Democratic Party, by members of the media, that America lives in a time of deep and abiding systemic racism. This has become part and parcel of nearly every Democratic talking point. In the aftermath of the Pence-Harris debate, there are a variety of think pieces suggesting that somehow Kamala Harris was at some sort of serious disadvantage because she's a black woman in that debate. I found all that puzzling, since it seemed like most of the defenses of Kamala Harris rested on the idea that Mike Pence was somehow victimizing her as a black woman in that debate. What do you make of those particular arguments?
Well, I think Senator Harris is a great example of the American dream. And she, you know, her parents were both came to this country presumably to create an incredible future for their daughter, and she got a great education. She became Attorney General and now U.S. Senator. And so, you know, I think sometimes we get so caught up in these larger narratives that we forget that what her story is actually flies in the face of the story that systemic racism is so powerful that it kills the ability of whether you be low income or a kid of color to grow up to be someone who could become potentially president of the United States.
Yeah, Ian, well, it was pretty astonishing. You know, Condoleezza Rice has talked about the soft bigotry of low expectations. There's a six-piece article kind of compendium in the Washington Post. It's a series about the life of George Floyd. This article suggests that George Floyd's life, not his death, his life, was a reflection of systemic racism. The opening words of the article suggest that he wanted to be a pro athlete or a Supreme Court justice, but was simply prevented from doing that by systemic racism. I mean, regardless of perspective on how he died and whether a crime was involved or what kind of crime, I mean, the man was a career criminal who was in fact jailed for pointing a loaded gun at the stomach of a pregnant woman during an armed robbery. It seems to me like that has much more to do with life unsuccess than generalized idea of systemic American racism. It doesn't seem like this is a person who made the sorts of decisions that lead to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, when we fall into this trap where, you know, every obstacle or every reason that, again, particularly a person of color doesn't get ahead is because of this overwhelming title, systemic racism, it's inherently debilitating. And in fact, it's white supremacy in saying that essentially black people are helpless in the face of this thing called systemic racism. The reason I find these narratives so debilitating is that I run schools, you know, for the last decade, you know, in the heart of the South Bronx, low-income kids, particularly black and Hispanic kids, our parents, you know, thousands of children, our parents choose our schools because they know that there are issues of discrimination, there are all sorts of life's challenges, but they put our kids in our schools to equip them with the tools and the ability to develop a sense of agency and that set of practices and core values and core principles, whether it be around understanding the power of free enterprise, hard work, faith, family, entrepreneurship. These are tools accessible to everyone, regardless of race. And so the more you hear these narratives, it's almost as if they're trying to convince young people that you don't have a shot. And that I fight very hard against that narrative.
A little bit more on that in just a moment. But first, let's talk about those teeth. So they've slipped out of place a little, haven't they? I know. When you were 14, you had the retainer, and then you lost the retainer, and then the teeth started to move around. Those chompers, they started to move around. Well, now you need to get those teeth back in order, because at some point you'll take off that mask and people will want to see that gorgeous smile. That's why you need Candid Clear Aligners. I've been using them myself. They are comfortable, removable, practically invisible, unlike wire braces. You can transform your smile without anybody noticing. Plus, your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist who's an expert in tooth movement. It's all done from the comfort and convenience of your own home. Candid only works with orthodontists, never general dentists like any other company. Plus, your supervising orthodontist will be with you every step of the way. With Candid, that treatment includes remote monitoring by the same orthodontist who created your plan. You're not going to have to wonder how you're doing. You're always going to know, which I love. The average Candid treatment is just 6 months. You'll start seeing results way before then. It costs thousands less than braces. So start straightening your teeth today. Right now, all my listeners can save $75 on Candid's starter kit. Head on over to CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben. That's CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben and take advantage of the limited time offer to save $75 on your starter kit. That is CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben. All right, we're speaking with Ian Rowe, a resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. So let's talk about how we give people that shot. I've said for a long time that there's obvious truth to the fact that some of the racial wealth gap in the United States is attributable to legacies of racism. So redlining in the 1960s, home ownership policies, historic poverty always has consequences for future poverty, and historic discriminations will have a tail effect for sure. But the bigger question for me has always been, okay, so how do we alleviate the income gap? Because the way that you alleviate the wealth gap over the medium to long term is to alleviate the income gap. I mean, the fact is that the wealth gap between white and Asian has been basically eliminated because the income gap between white and Asian has been not only eliminated but reversed. And the same thing is actually currently happening in the Hispanic community, which is picking up income on the white community at a pretty fast clip at this point. So when we talk about alleviating the racial wealth gap, we really ought to be talking about alleviating the income gap between black and white in America, and a lot of that comes down to education. Maybe you can talk about how we alleviate that racial wealth gap.
Yeah, I mean, there's studies that show, you know, I think 2016 Consumer Survey of Finances that many people cite shows that the average wealth of the average white family is 10 times that of the average black family. And that gap is so huge for some people. They say, see, that's the proof of the legacy of racial oppression. It's so big, it's insurmountable. Literally, there is nothing a black person can do to make up for that gap. And so therefore, if there's nothing a black person can do, the only way to solve the problem is if there's a massive government redistribution program where the government pays the black descendants of slaves literally trillions of dollars. The government starts showering checks for $150,000 to $200,000 to black people solely because they've been victims or descendants of slaves. And it's the most debilitating, first of all, unrealistic and very debilitating. But yet, when you look at that same data and you look into other factors such as family structure, then that gap is suddenly reversed. The average black married two-parent household has nearly twice the wealth of the average white single-parent household. So then you realize, huh, there are factors
outside of race that can determine your ability to generate income within a single generation, and thus your ability to transfer wealth across generations. And if you take into account factors like country of origin, what about Nigerian Americans? Nigerian Americans are some of the highest earning groups in the country, far surpassing that of whites. So again, what does that suggest? Factors around family structure, quality of education, these things matter substantially. And particularly when you look at Nigerian Americans, Ghanaian Americans, who are generally black, they face the same levels of quote unquote systemic racism that other black Americans do. So what is the difference? What can we learn from communities that have moved from persecution to prosperity? Part of the reason I run schools is because the foundational element, other than families, are the quality of schooling. So I'll talk to you about one structural barrier that we should be talking about, because it's not necessarily about systemic racism. It's about structural barriers that hold low-income kids back. So, for example, in New York City, in the South Bronx, you know, if you started high school in 2015 in ninth grade, 4 years later, only 2% graduated from high school ready for college. 2%, meaning that you started ninth grade and you dropped out, or you actually finished high school, but you still couldn't do math or reading at a level that didn't require remediation, even if you went to college, right? So that's an outrageous situation. But in New York City, there's now a cap on the number of charter schools that can be created. If you had a great idea, if you wanted to serve the nearly 20,000 families that are on wait lists to enter a charter school in New York, you couldn't do that because there is a cap. That is a structural barrier. That is a real example of a barrier that's holding back opportunity for low-income kids. So let's identify real systemic barriers that are really standing in the way of kids' opportunity.
So let's talk for 1 second about the you know, sort of bizarre monolithic view of race in the United States. I mean, you mentioned diversity inside the black community, and I know that the media have decided that we have to capitalize the word black because all black people are apparently exactly the same and spring from exactly the same cultural origins, which is quite crazy, actually. But you mentioned the difference in income between, for example, Nigerian Americans and Jamaican Americans and American descendants of slaves, right?
And differences within family structure, too.
Right, and differences within family structure. We ignore all of these things. A perfect example of this actually is Kamala Harris, who continues to maintain that she has been subjected to great discrimination in the United States. She's a descendant of Jamaican Americans and Indian Americans who, in sort of income terms in the United States, do quite well. To treat that the same as somebody who grew up in inner city, descendant of American slaves, is actually ignorance. It's not actually a form of you know, acknowledgement of diversity. I think it's actually an attempt to simplify diversity into something monolithically nasty about the country.
Yeah, it's deliberately ignoring the evidence, because not only was she the child of, you know, two immigrant parents, she was obviously the child of two married parents. I think the data is since 1994, amongst black married households, the poverty rate has been in single digits, as compared to the rest of the black population that's not, much higher levels of poverty. And so the data is out there. We have to demystify success. I think there is this obsession with demonizing the country, saying that, you know, America is racist to its core. And yet there's incredible evidence that shows that even in the face of discrimination, there are millions and millions of black Americans, past and present, that have succeeded by embracing the founding principles of the country. That strong work.
Ian Rowe, American Enterprise Institute. You can go check out all of his work over there. Really appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All righty, coming up, we're going to get into more on this narrative that America is systemically racist. It's being pushed by some of the biggest features, some of the biggest players in our culture. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let's face it. This election is really, really important. I'm not just on the presidential level, on the House level, on the Senate level. You got to get active. The fact is, if you do not wish to see radical leftist agenda items made actual United States federal policy. You need to get involved right now. How can you do all of this? You need to go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com right now. Again, KeepAmericaAmerica.com right now. Voting has already started in some states. It's about to start in others. If you live in Ohio, early in-person voting begins 28 days before the election. In Arizona, it's 27 days before the election. The 2016 election was decided by thousands of votes, not millions. 300,000 of you across the country have already gone to KeepAmericaAmerica.com. I want to see that number reach 1 million or more. Make this the biggest get-out-the-vote effort in conservative history. One, the left-wing media cannot ignore. Do a little bit or do a lot, but do your part. Go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com right now. Again, that is KeepAmericaAmerica.com right now. Go check them out. KeepAmericaAmerica.com. You want to get active? I mean, I get that question all the time. Here's how you can do it. KeepAmericaAmerica.com. All righty, coming up, we're going to talk about this narrative that America is systemically racist, being parroted by everybody from Michelle Obama to Colin Kaepernick. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report, summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help now today at 800-837-0065. 800-837-0065. That's 800-837-0065.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it turns out right now that the Democratic Party continues to push the lie that not only is America systemically racist, but that the police are the big problem. The narrative that's being drawn by people up to and including Michelle Obama is that America is racist and terrible, and that people who are protesting are not, in fact, rioters and looters. They are just wonderful, peaceful protesters. And we have to ignore the rioting and the looting because of the greater point, which is that America is so systemically racist that Michelle Obama is probably the best-selling author of the last 15 years in the United States, a frontrunner for the presidential nomination for the Democrats if Joe Biden does not win, or even if Joe Biden leaves office at some point. It's hard to be It's so terrible to be a black person in America that literally the most admired people in America are nearly universally black at this point. Look at a field in the United States and you will see black faces in positions of power, which is a great thing. It speaks to the tolerance of America, the diversity of America. It speaks to the fact that we have an open meritocracy. That is an excellent, excellent thing. But according to Michelle Obama and the Democrats, again, America is systemically racist and systemically evil. So racist and evil that people like George Floyd, according to the Washington Post, are victims of systemic American racism. Again, the Washington Post printed an actual article claiming that George Floyd's life was a series of misadventures because of systemic American racism, not because he was a repeat criminal who was in and out of jail nearly his entire adult life. So here was Michelle Obama just a couple of days ago, downplaying rioting and looting, pretending that they don't exist in a video where she was calling Trump and America, by extension, completely racist.
They're stoking fears about black and brown Americans, lying about how minorities will destroy the suburbs, whipping up violence and intimidation. And they're pinning it all on what's been an overwhelmingly peaceful movement for racial solidarity. It's true. Research backs it up. Only a tiny fraction of demonstrations have had any violence at all.
Only a tiny fraction. Hundreds have had violence. Hundreds have had violence. A tiny fraction. The study that she's talking about suggested that only about 7% of the protests across the United States devolved into actual violence, completely ignoring rioting and looting. To say that Trump is a racist for pointing out the rioting and looting bespeaks a particular vision of the United States that is quite ugly and is quite wrong. Hey, it is a vision of the United States shared by people like Colin Kaepernick, who's been treated as a hero. He had one good season, and then he sucked so much that he was benched for Blaine Gabbert. And that guy knelt for the national anthem on the basis, by the way, of a shooting that happened, I believe, in Oakland that turns out was justified by the police. He wore a pair of socks suggesting that cops were pigged. This guy is hailed as a hero. Now, he is saying not only that America is deeply racist, of course, in every respect, also, he, this new goodwill ambassador for the NFL, he has suggested that he is that the police ought to be completely defunded. He published an essay on Tuesday with a missive describing a change of heart he's experienced since holding his kneeling positions in 2017. He says he is now opposed to reforming law enforcement at all. He prefers a total abolition of police and prisons. Don't worry, he's not a radical, guys. He's not a radical. He just wants mainstream police reform. He's just worried about excessive police use of force. He's not a radical in any way, Colin Kaepernick. He's the heart and soul of racial justice reform in the United States. Under the subheading title, F Reform, Kaepernick wrote his thinking was, quote, fastened to a reformist framework. He admitted he missed the larger picture, where even major changes to policing would produce similar problems to those that, in Kaepernick's mind, currently plague law enforcement, according to Emily Zanotti for Daily Wire. The focus on individual punishment will never alter the outcome of a system rooted in black death, said Kaepernick. I wanted change. I wanted it to stop. I wanted to reform what I saw. Yet the reforms often proposed, use of force policies, body cameras, more training, police accountability, were the same recycled police reforms consistently proposed in the past. And in both the past and the present, these reforms have done nothing to stop the actions that force us to say their names. So what does he want? He wants the end of policing and the end of prisons, which is crazy. You need police to enforce the law. Colin Kaepernick needs the police to protect, presumably, his multi-million-dollar estate and his very expensive cars that he has achieved in this horrifically racist and backward country. He says, despite the steady cascade of anti-black violence across this country, I am hopeful we can build a future that imagines justice differently. A future without the terror of policing in prisons. Terror of policing. It seems like terror of criminals would be a more justified terror. A future that prioritizes harm reduction, redemption, and public well-being in order to create a more just and humane world. Oh, isn't that nice? Of course, this doesn't involve any solutions, as you may have noticed. He says, the ever-present threat of premature death at the hands, knees, chokeholds, tasers, and guns of law enforcement has only further ingrained its anti-black foundation into the institutions of policing. In order to eradicate anti-blackness, we must also abolish the police. The abolition of one without the other is impossible. He says that this will have wide-ranging effects, but he resists the urge to explain how ending law enforcement will result in an end to homelessness and other social ills, other than to speculate that money spent on policing will be redistributed in a way not guided by white supremacy, of course, white supremacy. He says, by abolishing policing in prisons, not only can we eliminate white supremacist establishments, we can create space for budgets to be reinvested directly into communities to address mental health needs, homelessness and houselessness, access to education and job creation, as well as community-based methods of accountability. Ah, yes, if we just dump trillions of dollars into local government initiatives focused on, like, you know, say, like Head Start programs or Midnight Basketball, probably that will solve the crime problems. Except that the only thing that ever solved the crime problem in the United States is more cops on the street. End of story. That's the end of it. Okay, if there is one robust finding in social science, it is that more cops on the streets means less crime. But, of course, Kaepernick doesn't care about that because he doesn't have to deal with the consequences of crime. He's got the entire media massaging his shoulders as he declares the entire police establishment racist. And he's got the Democratic Party mimicking this language. It is pretty amazing stuff that Kaepernick, again, he's supposed to be a moderate. He continues to say the same things that Michelle Obama says. They keep saying things like the threat of death from law enforcement against black Americans is ever present. It is hard to think of a graver lie than this. These are the heroes. These are the heroes in America, the people who are making life worse every day for people desperately in need and more of more law enforcement, not less law enforcement, people desperately in need of more opportunity, not less opportunity, and people desperately in need of more encouragement in a free society, not the pervasively disgusting message that you are born with two strikes on you, no matter what, in the United States if you are born black, which is just a lie. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In September, we're talking to all your favorite archetypes, everyone from law enforcement to stage performers. And in October, we're celebrating Halloween all month long by looking at different literary monsters every episode.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. The Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days' worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
785-9132.
Mom, Dad.
Before you throw out those unused medicines, just think for a minute.
Grandma, Grandpa, all you guys take meds. That's why you gotta dispose of your old pills correctly.
Those pills for your back pain or migraines.
When you throw them in the trash, those medicines can become lethal in the wrong hands.
Our hands.
You may be finished with that medicine,
but those pills are making me real popular at school.
My brother James could think they're candy. Our dog loves to get in the garbage, and those meds can make him sick or worse. So stop. There are better ways to dispose of your unused meds.
There are lots of police stations, local pharmacies, and hospitals that are approved to take in unused meds and dispose of them safely.
Disposal sites are close by.
It's easy, and it's the right thing to do. For us. The ones you love.
To find a medicine disposal site near you, visit www.safe.pharmacy. A public service message from the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we're taking our calls at 855-236-3228. That's 855-236-3228. Becky in South Dakota, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Becky.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for taking my question. I have heard someone this week say that if this race becomes about personality, Trump loses, but if he could make it about policy, he wins, which I absolutely agree with. So why doesn't Trump and his campaign understand how he wins this race? And me, 40-something-year-old in the middle of nowhere, does.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that everybody in the White House understands this. I think that Trump may begin to understand this when he looks directly in the face of the polling data. But, you know, Donald Trump, look, the man is 74 years old. He sees no need to take advice from anybody. He's run for president one time, and he's won. So the thing about Trump is that, you know, he's like a terrific AAA pitcher who throws 100 miles an hour and doesn't really have a changeup. He gets to the major leagues. The first half of the season, he's just blowing people away, right? And just blowing it by him. Doing incredible things. Then the hitters start to catch up because it turns out that when you have one pitch, eventually somebody is going to figure out the pitch. And so you got to change tactics. Well, Trump is not somebody who has changed much over time. I mean, if you look at Trump in 1991, he looks very much like Donald Trump in 2020. He's not somebody who is known for being sort of chameleonic. He's been exactly the same character for a very long time. For him to change how he approaches these issues in the last 3 weeks of the election will require a sort of sea change. It may be prompted by some sort of outside extraneous event. What I mean by that is that in 2016, there's a theory that I kind of liked. I heard Chris Steyerwalt at Fox News put it out there, so I'm going to hijack it. His theory is that one of the reasons Trump won in 2016 was the Access Hollywood tape. The reason that he is now that he's suggesting that is because he believes that the Access Hollywood tape basically drove Trump out of the spotlight. Trump was like, I don't want to talk. I don't want to be out here. And so for the last 3 weeks of the campaign, it was all Hillary all the time. He deprived the media of oxygen. And also a bunch of Democrats thought the election was over. And so they just stayed home. And so he ends up winning the election. It's possible that he could have an extraneous event drive Trump off the public stage here. It's possible that Joe Biden falls down and that radically changes the nature of the race. But if we are sitting here hoping for a radical change in how Donald Trump approaches things, I have my doubts, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wish I could be more optimistic about it, but
I know.
What can you do? What can you do?
TV, but he just doesn't listen to me. So.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. It is. I mean, like you want to see him win, and that means that you want to. It's not like there's a giant mystery. There's a pullout today showing that 56% of Americans, according to Gallup, say they are better off now than they are 4 years ago. 56%. How can you lose under those circumstances? Well, I guess we're right now by the polling. We could find out. So you would think that now would be like an excellent time for him to change things. But we'll find out whether he is indeed able to change course. Yeah. Becky, I appreciate the call. I share the frustration, obviously. Matthew in Louisville, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Matthew.
Hey, Ben, how are you?
I am hanging in there. How are you?
I'm trying. So I'm actually from Louisville. I've lived here my entire life. And as you know, the Breonna Taylor case occurred here. And one thing that I've noticed was the violence has stopped, but in places like Portland, it's like ongoing. But the results, the Breonna Taylor case, weren't what everybody was wanting. So why is the violence stopped here and continued in other places?
So the answer is because one of those states is a blue state and one of those states is not a blue state. That is the answer. The answer is that Louisville exists in Kentucky. Kentucky is a red state. Kentucky is not going to allow this sort of violence to continue ad infinitum in the streets. Oregon, in Portland, they're not only allowing this to go on in the streets, they've been allowing it to go on in the streets for months. It preceded the Breonna Taylor verdict. It will continue beyond the Breonna Taylor verdict. And in fact, a new mayor of Portland may not be this crazy person, Ted Wheeler. It may be another crazy person who has declared herself a member of Antifa. She has declared her allegiance to Antifa. So, you know, blue cities are going to continue to tolerate this stuff. And blue cities in red states will tolerate it for so long, but then the state government will step in and stop it. So I wish that it didn't. I really do wish that it didn't come down to politics, but it does seem like it is coming down to politics more and more often. And that's the only way I can explain why these states seem to have differential treatment of the issues.
That helps so much, Ben. We need you to run for president.
Oh, God. That sounds terrible, dude, honestly. Matthew, I appreciate the call. Hey, Randy in Rhode Island, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Randy.
Hey, good morning, Ben. The other day you were talking about Cardi B and WAP and comparing it to Beethoven, and you said, objectively, Beethoven is better. And I wanted to ask you about that. As a layperson, take me through why Beethoven is objectively better than Mozart or Handel or Bach or any of the other composers that the general public is familiar with.
So it is, I think that it is harder to make the case as to why Beethoven is better than, for example, Mozart. That's a little more subjective because of the complexity of the music. So you can say that Beethoven has more intellectually developed development sections of his pieces. I think that's pretty well established in sort of music theory circles. His late string quartets are extremely sophisticated in both harmonic structure and rhythmic structure. I think it is fair to say that Beethoven moved the form forward more than Mozart did. He sort of bridged the gap between the classical period in classical music and the romantic period in classical music. It would be hard to say that Beethoven was more transformational than Bach. However, you can say with certainty that Bach and Beethoven are both greater artists than Cardi B because, frankly, an 11-year-old with a pornographic dictionary could come up with Cardi B's lyrics. A pornographic rhyming dictionary could come up with Cardi B's lyrics. Cardi B's music is not, in fact, music. It is, in fact, a bunch of rhythm and a very, very small amount of melody. Here's the basic rule. If it takes you less than 2 seconds to contemplate what is going on musically in a piece, you can tell that it is less sophisticated in the same way that One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish is somewhat less sophisticated than Moby Dick.
Totally agree. If your position is that complexity equals merit, would you say that Rachmaninoff then would be one of the better composers that we've ever known?
Well, I think the Rachmaninoff's development sections are not actually all that complex. I mean, that's one of the problems. He has great themes in his development, like Tchaikovsky. Great themes in Tchaikovsky, development sections kind of stagnate. But it's not that complexity equals great. There are a bunch of factors that equal great. And when it comes to music, particularly, the melody, this is why I say it's hard to say that Mozart is less good than Beethoven, because maybe you value melody more than you value complexity or sophistication of development sections. Maybe you value perfection of the form that you are currently using, like Mozart's late symphonies, more than you value sort of the experimental nature of Beethoven's early stuff, like the Eroica, for example. All of those are open debates. What I can tell you is that there is a difference in kind between Mozart, Beethoven, even Rachmaninoff, Debussy, and Cardi B. And anybody who compares these two things is an idiot. In fact, somebody in the office was asking me the other day, Rebecca was asking me, is Cardi B closer to Shakespeare or closer to Beethoven? I said, well, actually, if you're going to qualify it as poetry, it would be closer to Shakespeare. It's just that it would be like if Shakespeare got hit in the head with a rock during some sort of mugging in London circa 1617. I mean, like that'd be more like that. It's more in the realm of poetry. To even call it music, I think, is sort of a disgrace to music. But then I'm going to get back into is rap music, which we've gone through before. Randy, appreciate the call. Austin in California, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Austin.
Hey, Ben. I'm actually a 20-year-old in Calabasas. That's conservative, so we do, in fact, exist. My question today is about the Democrats and their likelihood to just be so willing to change, like, fundamental rules, whether it be with the debates that we're going through right now or packing the courts and the Electoral College. For me, these seem to be very fundamental things in the Constitution since our country's founding. And I want to know your thoughts on why, especially young people, are so willing to accept changes that are so radical, and people still view the Democrats as being the more milquetoast party and call Trump an extremist when they're doing these crazy rule changes because it's convenient for them.
I mean, the answer is that young people never have to live with the consequences of their actions. Young people tend to very often be very utopian in their viewpoints on politics. They don't pay a lot of taxes early on because you start to earn more as you get older. You're fresh off a college campus and you're hot and bothered about politics and you're ready to create the brand new world. There's a lot of that. There's also the fact that young people just historically tend to be rather ungrateful about the situations from whence they come. It takes you until you're about 25 to recognize that your parents aren't wrong all the time. And so if you're young, you tend to think that everything that's good about the universe is given to you because it was deserved. And everything bad about the universe is something that you as a magical human can change. And all of that is true. All of that is untrue. Everything that is good about the universe was given to you through the effort of others. And everything that is bad about the universe is probably universal to all human beings. So it's a complete reversal of reality. And this is true for the left generally. When they look at America, what they see is a place that is uniquely bad, because in the absence of all of America's predations, the world would be a better place. You see, there's a quote from Nelson Mandela that I thought was so wrong-headed. I saw this quoted on Twitter, so I will assume that it is true, as per our Twitter rules. And the quote was something like, poverty is unnatural and inequality is unnatural. And I just thought to myself, no, poverty and inequality are absolutely natural. Racism is absolutely natural. Natural does not mean good, right? It takes civilization to beat this stuff out of us. And that's why we require civilization, but we tend to be pretty ungrateful about the civilization that we receive.
That makes a lot of sense. And I see that with people my age. I would say my concern is that people seem to are becoming more immature into their, like, living with their parents till they're 30 or so. So maybe they're going to be stuck in this train of thinking for longer than previous generations.
God, I hope not. I mean, it's bad enough right now. And that's why, again, one of the wonderful things about never having to live under socialism is that you get to pretend that socialism is wonderful for you. So that is exciting stuff. Randy, Austin, I appreciate the call. Jared in Tennessee, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Jared.
Hey, Ben. How are you, sir?
I am hanging in there. How are you?
Good. Excellent. Hey, I want to be one of the first to welcome you to Williamson County, Tennessee. And we are so happy to hear that you are moving your company here, along with literally about 15 other companies that have recently located from California to Tennessee, including Mitsubishi Motors, Nissan North America, the IC Corporation. I don't know if you're old enough. When I was in Kmart when I was a kid, you always had the ice machine kind of towards the back of the or at the front of the store. And, you know, it's just amazing to me how many companies these days are just picking up and running away from the state of California like their pants are on fire, and moving here to easily one of the most beautiful places on earth, which is Williamson County, Tennessee, which is home of Franklin, Tennessee, where my office is. I'm literally sitting right on the corner of downtown Franklin, Tennessee, right now talking to you. And it is a gorgeous fall day here. And, you know, I just wanted to get your take on what motivated you. I did read your article, and maybe you can pick up a few pieces off of that. But, you know, is there anything else, too, that really, like, motivated you to move to Tennessee versus moving, let's say, to Austin, Texas, or some other place?
So we did actually examine Austin, Texas. One of the problems with Austin, Texas was that it is so incredibly blue. We know that Nashville is a blue town, but Austin is so blue that it's more like San Francisco in the middle of Texas than it is like a red state city. So that was definitely one of the considerations. The truth is that a lot of the Texans in our company, and we have many of them, right, the co-founders of the company, Caleb Robinson and Jeremy Boring, are both from Texas. And they kind of wanted to go to a more entertainment-oriented town as well. Nashville has a lot of people who are capable of doing the stuff we need them to do, the editing and the film knowledge and the video expertise. It's become sort of a hot media town, Nashville. So that was definitely a major consideration. I know that cost of living was a major consideration, because living in Nashville is frankly cheaper for our employees than living in a place like Austin, where the prices have really increased pretty significantly. But I know that people in our company are pumped. I mean, we thought when we announced this thing that we were going to lose half the employees who were going to stay in LA, and nearly everybody was like, okay, we're out. Catch you later. In fact, one of our producers, Producer Nick, was asking me earlier whether he should sabotage the state of California on the way out by voting for all of the wild leftist proposals that are on the ballot, just as like a goodbye and screw and screw you measure to the state of California.
Absolutely.
I thought that I informed him that would be gauche. Jared, I appreciate the call. All righty, coming up, we're going to take more of your calls at 855-236-3228. Again, that's 855-236-3228. Kyle in New York, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Kyle.
Hey, Ben, I'm a big fan of you and your show. I'm just wondering, I know the data isn't looking good for Trump, and I personally think he's got about a 30% chance of winning, and I just bought an AR-15 because of the fear that Kamala is going to come after my rights. So my question is for you is, should I liquidate my stock options just in case of the likely event that Trump loses, and how do you personally feel about his chances of winning the election?
So I think that his chances right now are not great by the polling data. As far as liquidating your stock options, I wouldn't. I think that...
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help now today at 800-837-0065. 800-837-0065. That's 800-837-0065.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term. Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're taking your calls at 855-236-3228, 855-236-3228. Nate in Canada, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Nate.
Hey, how you doing, Ben?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good, thank you. I've seen the recent news about Yelp and what they're trying to push with their brand. I just want to get your opinion on how that will affect their brand and then the brand that they choose to label as racist or whatever they're trying to do with their whole new plan.
I mean, they're out of their minds, obviously. I mean, it's an utterly, completely crazy plan. I mean, it's their plan right now, for those who missed it, is that Yelp plans to basically give you a notification if anybody even complains about racism at your establishment. And then if it is, quote unquote, well established, and by that they mean there's a credible media report on the incident, then they will suggest that this is now elevated to like an actual business concern for you. So all you have to do is make a complaint. Like, we all know how this works. Okay, here's how it works. Somebody posts a stupid thing on your Yelp about how they went in and there were too many white people there. And then Yelp is inundated by requests from the media, right? The media then start asking questions. This is how you manufacture a story. The media then cover the story as news. Yelp elevates it to an actual business complaint against your business. Okay, you can imagine the ways in which this is going to be abused. Basically, just expect that every single Chick-fil-A in America will be hit with bigotry and discrimination claims by gay Americans who don't particularly, gay activists, who don't particularly like Dan Cathy, the head of Chick-fil-A. Right? You can just expect that's going to happen. You'll expect the same thing to happen at Hobby Lobby from feminists. You will expect that any sort of right-wing business will immediately be hit with a bunch of these complaints, and then Yelp will begin to elevate the complaints and send out business alerts based on this sort of nonsense. And then you'll have people who are like the real problem. Okay, I'm not even talking about people who just make things up for political purposes. I'm talking about people who are shakedown artists. You'll have people walk into a store, allege something that didn't happen, say, I've got my Yelp right here. All I got to do is just blackmail. It doesn't even have to be well substantiated. I can just make a subjective claim about how I was profiled here, and we can nail your business for thousands of dollars worth of business. We can downgrade you on Yelp from a five-star business to a one-star business with a racism alert on you. Or, theoretically, you could just give me like $100 free to the store. Right? This is like the easiest thing in the world to abuse, and Yelp going along with it is insane. It's insane. Now, all that's going to happen is that people are going
to
start...
How is that allowed to
happen? I mean, I would assume that the lawsuits are going to be enormous. Right? You're now going to just accuse Yelp of downgrading your business. You're going to accuse them of libel and slander. And I think that there will be lawsuits on this basis, and there should be lawsuits on this basis, obviously.
No,
I also think that there will be competitors to Yelp that immediately begin that do not have these same idiotic rules. If this becomes as widespread as I expect it to be, all that you will end up with is, just like everything else in American life, you will end up with a completely separate rating agency for public reviews from people who are not crazy. And people will start using that instead. And frankly, I hope that happens, because Yelp deserves to go out of business for an insane decision like
100%.
This.
I mean,
just absolutely crazy. Absolutely nuts. Really appreciate the call, Nate. John in Ohio, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, John.
Hey, Ben. Real quick question. Sorry, I'm at work. I'm running to the back room. Thank you. So I've always been told whenever I have a discussion with somebody of the left and I'm talking about everything that the Democrat Party has done wrong, et cetera, over the years, and they say there is a big party switch that was in the late 19th century, something like that. Do you know
in the 60s
about that?
Is usually like, when they suggest it. Yeah, so usually they say usually say the Republican Party was the anti-racist party until the 60s, in which case the Republican Party shifted into the racist party and the Democratic Party magically became anti-racist. This is a bunch of nonsense. It is not backed by the social science data. So here's the reality. The younger voters in the South started voting Republican as the South started to industrialize. Those younger, more tolerant voters who started voting Republican, all of the oldies continued to vote Democrat all the way up to the 1990s. Most of the state legislatures in southern states stayed Democrat up until the early 1990s. So if you would have expected that all of these states were just going to shift into Republican states overnight, then and the parties were going to shift their positions, you would have expected George Wallace to run not as a Democrat but as a Republican in 1968. You would have expected all of these state legislatures immediately to shift over to Republican. It wouldn't take 30 or 40 years. It would have taken 1 year, right? You wouldn't have expected that the transition toward Republican voting would have begun not in the 1960s, but as early as the 1920s and 1930s. Okay, Sean Trendy of Real Clear Politics, he's written about this. He says the GOP gradually increased its support in the South from 1928 to 2010 on a continuum.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. White House increasing its offer in COVID-19 relief talks with Congress, hoping for a deal before the election.
In the on-again, off-again negotiations, President Trump is pushing for an agreement after abandoning talks. He tweets that lawmakers should go big in providing COVID-19 economic assistance. The new White House offer is said to be $1.8 trillion. Democrats offered $2.2 trillion. Adding to the drama, the Senate's Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, says he doubts there will be any deal before the November 3rd election.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston. Also at townhall.com, Democrats unveiling a bill creating a panel to gauge the president's, quote, capacity to serve.
House Democrats unveiled legislation creating a panel to gauge the president's capacity to perform the job and potentially remove the commander-in-chief from office in cases of decided debility. Speaker Nancy Pelosi explains why she feels this action is needed.
This legislation applies to future presidents, but we are reminded of the necessity of action by the health of the current president.
The commission would be permanent, applying to future administrations, but it's clearly a shot at President Trump, whose treatments for coronavirus have raised questions about their effects on his mental acuity. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer says governors from both parties reaching out to her to share stories of extremism in their states. Whitmer says she was targeted by, quote, domestic terrorists in a kidnapping plot foiled by the FBI. Authorities say they stopped a scheme to kidnap Whitmer. The government says it involved months of planning, even rehearsals to take her from her vacation home. The second presidential debate wiped off the slate. The Nonpartisan Commission on Presidential Debate says the event between President Trump and Joe Biden set for Thursday is canceled, but the one on October 22nd will go on as planned. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Do you think all vitamin C's are the same? They're not. Ester C is a superior form of vitamin C. It's the only vitamin C with 24-hour immune support. And it lasts up to 2 times longer than regular vitamin C. So don't just settle for any vitamin C. Buy Ester C and support your immune health today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Airbnb will require hosts to comply with enhanced cleaning procedures.
It's part of a company effort to reassure guests and local officials during the coronavirus pandemic. The home sharing company said hosts have until November 20th to commit to the cleaning protocols. That includes scrubbing floors and other surfaces with soap and water, washing linens on high heat, disinfecting high-touch items like doorknobs and ventilating rooms. Hosts who don't comply may be suspended or removed from Airbnb. The company also said that guests and hosts must wear masks and social distance when interacting with each other. Keith Peters reporting.
In Virginia, a teachers' union there is apologizing after some of its members used child-sized coffins as props at a protest seeking to delay in-person education. The Prince William Education Association posted that apology on Facebook. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Germany has reported its largest daily increase in the virus infections since early April, with confirmed cases up a third to more than 4,000.
The German government's worried, fearful that the country famed for its successful handling of the pandemic could lose control. There are still far fewer reported cases here than in countries like France, Spain or Britain. But this morning, one leading scientist warned that on the current trajectory, daily cases could soon exceed 10,000. Germany's introducing new restrictions, including a ban on hotel stays for people from districts with high infection rates. The German health minister, who has refused to publicly countenance a second lockdown, said that the coming weeks would be a character test for German society.
The BBC's Jenny Hill. And French health authorities have ordered Paris hospitals to activate emergency measures to cope with fast-rising COVID patients in that country. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
A little bit later on in the hour. We begin at this hour, however, with a piece of actual good polling news for President Trump. So as you know, I am not one of the people on the right who ignores polling data. I don't think that all of the polling data is skewed. I don't think that the polls that universally right now have Biden up nationally are completely wrong. I think that the state polling data, presumably these polling companies tried to make some adjustments. We are now polling the states much more regularly than we were before. And that means that right now, Donald Trump is trailing in the vast majority of battleground states, or at the very least, he is running even in states he should be winning. The biggest gaps seem to be emerging in places like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Those seem to be the areas where Biden has really emerged with the lead. If he wins all three of those, the election essentially is over. So that is what it is. But there is one piece of polling data that should encourage Trump and should provide the basis for the rest of this campaign. This is a polling piece from Gallup. Americans' views on whether they are better or worse off than they were 4 years ago. According to 56% of Americans, they're better off than they were 4 years ago. If that's a referendum on Trump's record, that's a pretty damned excellent referendum. In December of 2012, only 45% of Americans agreed. In October of 2004, right, a month before the 2004 election, only 47% of Americans agreed. In October of 1992, only 38% of Americans agreed, which is probably why George H.W. Bush ended up not winning re-election. In July of 1984, only 44% of Americans agreed. That is an excellent number for Trump. Almost 6 in 10 Americans, in the middle of a pandemic, say they are now better off than they were 4 years ago. Normally, that's the theme of the campaign. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? If the answer is yes, you vote for the incumbent. Which suggests, one, that Trump's personal unpopularity is swamping the data, or two, that the polls are completely wrong, and in the end, people are going to vote for their own personal interests above their own personal peak. That they're going to ignore their dislike of Trump and vote in favor of what they think is a better life for them and their kids. Which you would hope for, obviously. That's a piece of data Trump should ram home. He should ram that piece of data home over and over. You're better off than you were 4 years ago. But the media are complicit in this mission to make the entire election referendum on Trump's personality, not even on the Trump record. As I pointed out after the Pence-Harris debate, the Trump administration record is actually quite good. Like, very good. And when you strip away all of the personality foibles, that Trump administration record is well worthy of a second term. The media have decided instead to make this all about Trump's personality. And what that means is ignoring the fact that Joe Biden completely refuses to answer questions about what he will do when he is running the country. Not only refuses to answer the question, openly just spits in the face of the media. It's amazing. He literally said to the media yesterday, he will not answer any of their questions about what he plans to do until after the election. Which is saying to the media, listen, I dare you. I dare you. I know that you're not going to ask me any tough questions. I know you won't hold me accountable. I know there won't be a headline on page one of the New York Times about how I won't answer questions on court packing. Because I know you're in my corner. So, you know what? Buzz off. I'm not answering any questions from you because I don't have to. Here was Joe Biden doing that yesterday in Arizona.
They'll know my opinion of court packing when the election is over. Now, look, I know it's a great question, y'all, and I don't blame you for asking. But you know, the moment I answer that question, the headline in every one of your papers will be about that. Other than focusing on what's happening now.
What's happening now is an election. I know you're the mystery meat here, dude. But at some point, you should have to answer what actually goes into making the hot dog. It's pretty amazing. I mean, he's openly saying, you need to elect me to find out what's in me. That's an incredible statement. It's an incredible statement. And he's simultaneously saying, I'm not even going to be president. Yesterday, he called Kamala Harris presidential, which is his open suggestion that, hey, man, if I plot, it's going to be Kamala. And now, you never heard this from Trump. You never heard, you know, Mike Pence, very presidential. It was more like, Mike Pence, good running mate. But Joe Biden knows that everybody is afraid that he ain't going to make it out of a first term, let alone a second term. And so now he has to talk up Kamala Harris. So here are the two pitches that are being made. One, you have no idea what the man's going to do. He could completely undermine the third branch of government by packing the Supreme Court, completely delegitimizing it, making it so that most Americans do not trust its rulings because it's just another political body ruled by Democrats. But you won't know his perspective until after the election. And also, you don't even know he's going to be president because, after all, Kamala might be president because he's 78 years old. Here's Joe Biden.
I thought Kamala did a great job last night. She was really presidential. She's stepping on focus. I was really proud of her. I'm looking forward to seeing her.
Oh, well, I mean, if you're looking forward to seeing her as president, Nancy Pelosi, for her part, she's now pushing an anti-constitutional measure. Right now, there are two ways to get rid of a sitting president. One is impeachment, and the other is the 25th Amendment, where a majority of the cabinet votes to basically declare the president incompetent, and then they shift the responsibility over to the VP. Nancy Pelosi would like to overthrow that particular constitutional provision, and instead she would like to set up a congressional oversight committee that can independently evaluate whether a president ought to be ousted, which is just a way of not fulfilling your impeachment duty. Remember, the Constitution allows Congress to get rid of a president. It's called impeachment. The House did it. The Senate refused. But Nancy Pelosi wants another way. She wants an independent body, an anti-democratic, independent, bureaucratic body, presumably appointed by people like Nancy Pelosi, to determine whether the president can continue to serve in his current capacity. And they can oust him at any time. I mean, this is pretty amazing. The office of the House Speaker announced a Friday press conference about a bill after she expressed concern that Trump is under disassociation from reality. In her medical opinion, Nancy Pelosi, who is obviously not at the peak of her mental powers, which were, I would say, not extraordinarily and precipitously high to begin with, she says that Trump is suffering from disassociation from reality. Therefore, she wants a bill to create an independent commission overseen by Congress to be able to oust the president without an impeachment hearing. In a zigzagging interview on Fox Business Channel, Trump boasted that he was back because he's a perfect physical specimen and extremely young. I'm lucky in that way. Pelosi responded at her weekly press conference. The plan isn't for the president to say he's a perfect physical specimen. And young, he said he was young. She said Trump is in an altered state. And then she revealed that Democrats will meet to focus on the 25th Amendment, which contains a clause that allows the president to be removed from office against his will because of physical or mental incapacity. Apparently, they want to introduce a commission on presidential capacity to discharge the powers and duties of office act. That legislation would create a body and process called for in the 25th Amendment to enable Congress to help ensure effective and uninterrupted leadership in the highest office in the executive branch of government. The 25th Amendment could enable Pelosi to create such a panel, but it's not like the House can do it with a vote. You have to have the cabinet actually do this. Right. So presumably all this means is that it's a publicity ploy. You'd have a committee. The committee appointed by Nancy Pelosi, would declare Trump unfit for office, and then the cabinet would say no, and then we'd get another political bleep fight for no apparent reason. But just another anti-democratic move by Nancy Pelosi, or at least an anti-constitutional move by Nancy Pelosi, there is a grave shocker. Who could have predicted? Meanwhile, speaking of anti-the system, the Commission on Presidential Debate is just a bleep show at this point. It's really, really bad. So here is the reality. Apparently, Trump is doing fine with COVID-19. His own doctors say that he will be out and about by Saturday. The Trump campaign has now put out a statement after the Commission on Presidential Debate said that the second debate would have to be Zoom-oriented, despite the fact that there actually is no evidence it has to be Zoom-oriented. They put out a statement. President Trump's physician, Dr. Sean Conley, says the president will be medically cleared for safe return to public engagements by Saturday, 5 full days before the originally scheduled debate in Miami on October 15th. There is no reason why the Commission on Presidential Debates should shift the debate to a virtual setting, postpone it, or otherwise alter it in any way. CPD Chairman Frank Fahrenkopf admits they consulted with no one before unilaterally changing the format of a debate well in advance of any knowledge of what the president's condition would be on debate night. The commission must stop protecting Biden from this in-person debate and allow the event to proceed as it was agreed to months ago. Okay, so that is obviously a better position than that of the CPD, which unilaterally declared the debate is basically off. Now, Trump has proposed an alternative, which is, okay, let's have the second debate October 22nd and the third October 29th. And Biden has refused to answer any of these questions, of course, because Biden's entire campaign is he is going to go into the basement and live in a coffin like Dracula until he emerges as president in January. Here is Joe Biden saying it'd be irresponsible for him to comment on the debates. Can you comment on anything, Joe? How about like anything, like a answer, not like many answers, like a answer. Here's Joe Biden avoiding questions again.
We don't know what the president's going to do. He changes his mind every second. So for me to comment on that now would be irresponsible. I think that if I'm going to follow the commission recommendation, if he goes off and he's going to have a rally, I don't know what I'll do.
And that's my favorite, is that at the very end of that clip, you hear Joe Biden say, and if Trump holds a rally, then, well, at that point, wouldn't you say, okay, well, if his doctors have cleared him to hold rallies and he's holding rallies, then I can be in a room with him 12 feet apart. Is it like a very difficult thing? Is it a very difficult thing? I'm just wondering. Apparently, the answer is yes. Trump rightly says they're obviously attempting to protect Joe Biden. That is true. Here was Trump yesterday.
They didn't even tell us about the debate, man.
So you just learned this morning?
Yeah, we learned it the same way you learned it. They called up 2 minutes ago, and it was announced. And they're trying to protect Biden. Everybody is. They're trying, like that NBC disaster where he went on the show with Lester Holt. It was like it was meant for a child.
Hey, he is not wrong about any of this, of course. So, you know, the fact that the Commission on Presidential Debates is past its prime is pretty obvious. Speaking of which, Steve Scully was supposed to be the moderator for that second debate. He's the guy from C-SPAN. It turns out that he has been DMing with Anthony Scaramucci about strategy on Trump, which is always a good look. That came out when he mistakenly tweeted at Scaramucci publicly instead of DMing him. Scaramucci, of course, has become a vocal Trump critic after performing his ceremonial Scaramucci in office, meaning that he was there for 5 minutes as the press secretary for Donald Trump before being summarily fired. So you've got the Commission on Presidential Debate shifting the process. You've got the moderators coordinating with enemies of Trump. I can't imagine why Trump thinks this process is biased against him in any way. I cannot imagine it. It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. Alrighty, in just a second, we're going to get to another narrative being put out by the Democrats. This narrative is that Trump is now responsible for a terror attack. Not kidding you. This is their new one. We'll get to this in just 1 second. First, you may have noticed this is a pretty important campaign. You may have noticed, particularly in the Senate. I mean, people are focusing in on the presidential race. The Senate is really important. If Democrats gain control of the presidency and the Senate, it's a disaster area for the country. It's bad enough if Biden becomes president. If they have the Senate too, look for them to add states to the Senate, Democratic states. Look for them to court pack. Look for them to push through violations of your core and fundamental rights. That is why you need to get active. The number one question I get is, how can I help? Well, here is how you can help. All you have to do is head on over to KeepAmericaAmerica.com. Early in-person voting has already started in places like Ohio and Arizona. You need to go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com right now to get involved. They will get you the most trusted, up-to-date voting information. While you're there, please commit to take one person to the polls, just one, or help them complete a mail-in ballot. The 2016 election was decided by thousands of votes, not millions. 300,000 of you across the country have already gone to KeepAmericaAmerica.com. I'd love to see that number reach 1 million or more. Make this the biggest get-out-the-vote effort in conservative history, one that the left-wing media cannot ignore. Go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com right now. Again, that is KeepAmericaAmerica.com. keepamerica.com. Go check them out right now at keepamerica.com. Already coming up, the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, who seems to be not a very good person. She's now blaming Trump for an attempted terror attack on her. We'll bring you all the details. This is scurrilous stuff. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gordon Christensen. When I became a dentist, I learned how quickly poor oral health can lead to other serious health problems. And for people without access to care, these problems can spiral very quickly. I wanted to help, so I joined Dental Lifeline Network. Right now, there's a wait list for patients in need in your community. I'm asking fellow dentists who will join me in seeing one patient per year.
To learn more, visit willyouseeone.org, furnished by Dental Lifeline Network.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the new narrative from the Democrats today, there's always a new narrative, is that an attempted terror attack against Gretchen Whitmer, who is the governor of Michigan, is Donald Trump's fault. So what exactly was this particular story? So apparently, according to the federal government, Attorney General Dana Nessel of the state of Michigan, she announced that there are a group of militia members called the Wolverine Watchmen, and they were plotting to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer. They were also on a mission to attack the state capitol and target police officers at their homes as part of a broader mission to instigate a civil war. They announced felony charges against 13 militia members accused in a sensational case of domestic terrorism. Apparently, these members of this militia group, they are accused of conducting surveillance outside Whitmer's vacation residence, using code language and encrypted messages to throw off police, and planting a bomb under a bridge to divert law enforcement. According to Dana Nessel, she said there's been a disturbing increase in anti-government rhetoric and the reemergence of groups that embrace extremist ideologies. This is more than just political disagreement or passionate advocacy. Some of these groups' mission is to simply create chaos and inflict harm upon others. Her comments follow the filing of an FBI affidavit in U.S. District Court that alleges six militia members plotted a revolt on the government that included kidnapping Whitmer. According to the FBI affidavit, remember, this is Donald Trump's FBI, The accused purchased items included a taser and night goggles, conducted surveillance at Whitmer's cottage, discussed blowing up a bridge to divert police, kidnapping Whitmer, and taking her to Wisconsin to face a quote-unquote trial for treason. The federal case is being prosecuted out of the Western District of Michigan. Well, federal charges are pending against the suspects, and Nestle announced a fresh batch of charges against seven additional defendants, including providing material support for terrorist acts. Nestle said that the suspects called on other members to identify the home addresses of law enforcement officers in order to target them, made threats of violence to instigate a civil war leading to societal collapse, and engaged in the planning and training for an operation to attack the state capitol and kidnap government officials, including the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer. Apparently, they wanted to do this before November 3rd and then try Whitmer for treason, and then it was foiled by paid undercover informants and 200 state and federal law enforcement officials executing search warrants in more than a dozen cities around the state. Colonel Joe Gaspard, director of the Michigan State Police, said the nature of the case is rather unprecedented. He says this is one of the largest cases in recent history the Michigan State Police has been involved in. Here is the prosecutor, Dana Nessel, talking about the plot.
The individuals in custody are suspected to have attempted to identify the home addresses of law enforcement officers in order to target them, made threats of violence intended to instigate a civil war, and engaged in planning and training for an operation to attack the Capitol building of Michigan and to kidnap government officials, including the governor of Michigan.
Okay, now, the media immediately, and the Democrats blame Trump. Joe Biden tweeted out that this was basically Trump because Trump had been talking about liberating Michigan. Gretchen Whitmer came out, and in her speech, she blamed Trump and suggested that it was because he had emboldened white supremacists all of this was happening. This is a lie. It's just a lie. It's an outright overt lie. It turns out that the members of this group hate Trump. They call him a tyrant and an enemy. Here's Gretchen Whitmer just lying, because all that matters is the narrative. The facts have no bearing on the case.
Just last week, the president of the United States stood before the American people and refused to condemn white supremacists and hate groups like these two Michigan militia groups. When our leaders speak, their words matter. They carry weight. When our leaders meet with, encourage, or fraternize with domestic terrorists, they legitimize their actions, and they are complicit.
Okay, first of all, Trump at that debate did not again say that white supremacy was okay. He has condemned white supremacism 1,000 times at this point. He has condemned militia groups. He condemned the Proud Boys. Like, what are... The fact that Whitmer is trying to do this, and that she's getting away with it. The media are going along with it. Members of the media are blaming Trump. How? Because he tweeted that we should liberate Michigan. Now, weirdly enough, he also tweeted that we should, quote-unquote, liberate Virginia. He tweeted that we should liberate California, I believe. He tweeted a bunch of times that we should liberate, like, a bunch of different blue states. Does that mean that he is now responsible for everything that happens from somebody who doesn't like the government of those states? I understand that the media love to play this game. After the Oklahoma City bombing, they tried to blame Rush. I mean, they tried this crap with me. There's a terror attack on a mosque in Canada, and that person followed a bunch of people on Twitter, including me, and the left-wing media attempted to claim that I was responsible for that for some odd reason. It's just unbelievable. But they do this kind of crap all the time. It is perfectly acceptable to suggest that people who are mainstream conservative voices are responsible for the insanity of people who go out and commit insane crimes. But if you are a left-wing voice, you can say whatever the hell you want, and you're never responsible for anything. So Bernie Sanders, an actual overt Bernie Sanders supporter, went and shot members of Congress. And that was not linked to Bernie, because it shouldn't be linked to Bernie. Bernie didn't call for anybody to shoot members of Congress. He used charged language. Guess what? That's politics. Barack Obama was not responsible for a madman shooting members of the Dallas police force. He was not responsible for that. But people on the right say that kind of stuff all the time. People on the left never give credit to their political opponents enough to claim they're not responsible for overt murder. It's amazing. Tim Alberta of the Washington Post, who used to be more sane when he was with National Review, he says if the president read his intel briefings and understood the dogma of white nationalist groups, he'd realize that language like liberate Michigan is read as tacit permission, if not explicit encouragement, for militias to take action. Oh, is that what happened here? So they were fine, and then they read his tweets, and then they decided to go and kidnap the governor and murder police officers. Yes, I'm sure that's what happened. Except for the fact that we actually have the alleged ringleader on tape claiming that Donald Trump is a tyrant and an enemy. Here's tape of the ringleader talking about how evil Trump is.
Trump is not your friend, dude. And it amazes me that people actually, like, believe that when he's shown over and over and over again that he's a tyrant. Every single person that works for government is your enemy.
Okay, does that sound like somebody who's working for Trump? Does that sound somebody like somebody who is reflecting Trump? This is madness. They've blamed Trump for literally every single terror attack that has happened from some far-right militia group in the United States for years. They tried to blame Trump for the Pittsburgh shooting. They tried to blame Trump for the El Paso shooting. They're trying to blame Trump for this one. Meanwhile, Democrats openly kowtow to Black Lives Matter, and then members of Black Lives Matter riot and loot cities. They openly incentivize criminality by making sympathy phone calls to alleged rapists like Jacob Blake, while simultaneously saying that police officers ought to be arrested. But don't worry. Democrats should never be blamed for anything bad that happens, and Republicans should be blamed for everything bad that happens. It's pretty amazing how this works. Okay, coming up, we're going to be joined by H.R. McMaster, the former National Security Advisor. We'll talk about foreign policy and where we stand, how the sausage gets made inside the White House on foreign policy. Plus, we'll get to the latest COVID updates. And Senator Mike Lee, friend of the program, personal friend, got himself in some trouble for tweeting out something that is so wildly non-controversial, and it's kind of astonishing he got in trouble for it. I'll explain what I'm talking about in just 1 second. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. PRMI is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager, NMLS number 1067640. PRMI, NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 years or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for additional sources of income, this could be an answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your monthly payment and extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, and the first step in seeing if a reverse mortgage is right for you is to become educated on the product. I'll be happy to help with that. I'm Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage Incorporated, and if a reverse mortgage fits, then your life just got a whole lot easier. I specialize in reverse mortgages. My experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call me today. I'd love to help. 530-722-4579 or go to rich4reverses.com.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is H.R. McMaster, retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General. And, of course, he served as President Trump's National Security Advisor from 2017 to 2018. He has a brand new book, Battlegrounds, The Fight to Defend the Free World. General McMaster, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Hey, Ben, thanks for having me.
You bet. So let's talk about some of the threats that are facing America internationally. I know that a lot of those discussions have been curtailed by the presidential discussion itself, which has eaten everything else like a black hole sucking in all material. But let's talk about sort of the threats that face America. And let's start with China. So obviously, China continues to grow its power. China continues to tyrannize surrounding states like Hong Kong, which it's the first time in my lifetime that we've actually seen a state fully subsumed by another state, like a free state fully subsumed by another state. We've seen sort of that happen piecemeal with Russia, but we haven't really seen it happen wholesale. The violation of a peace treaty with the British that was completely violated, the free state of Hong Kong now subjected to Chinese tyranny. We've seen the Chinese government engage in intellectual property theft. They've militarized the South China Sea. How do you view China, and what is the level of threat we should expect from them in the future, or is it exaggerated because their sort of internal economics just doesn't hold up well to scrutiny?
Well, Ben, you know, I think it's difficult to overstate the threat from China. What you're seeing now is the Chinese Communist Party, motivated by a combination of fear, right, fear of losing control of their exclusive grip on power, and an ambition to take center stage in the world, to create exclusive areas of primacy across the Indo-Pacific region, but then to challenge the United States and other free and open societies and free market economic systems internationally. And if the Chinese Communist Party succeeds, the world will be less free, less safe, and less prosperous. And what you're seeing is internally this grip on power being extended and tightened with a cultural genocide campaign in Xinjiang, as you mentioned, the repression of freedom in Hong Kong, but across all of China, the perfection really of this Orwellian technologically enabled surveillance police state. But what's worse is they're exporting this authoritarian mercantilist model, as you mentioned, to Hong Kong, but also, you know, they foisted a pandemic on the world by suppressing the news of human-to-human transmission, you know, not shutting down international travel when they shut down internal travel, and then, of course, adding insult to injury, you know, with this wolf warrior diplomacy aimed at Europe and the United States, massive cyber attacks in the middle of a pandemic against our medical research facilities and pharmaceutical companies, massive cyber attacks on Australia, you know, aggressive actions in the South China Sea, which, if they succeed, will be the largest land grab, so to speak, in history, threatening Taiwan, threatening Japan, bludgeoning Indian soldiers to death on the Himalayan frontier. So this is not just a U.S.-China problem, Ben. This is a free world China problem.
So, General McMaster, what do you think the free world is going to do about it? So the Europeans historically have not been particularly forthcoming when it comes to being injected with a spine to deal with existential threats. It's been left usually to the United States to lead on these issues. The Trump administration has taken much harsher action on China, particularly with regard to trade, than prior administrations. But what sort of actions would you like to see the United States take in order to check the ambitions of China?
Well, you know, there's a lot of international cooperation going on now. I mean, you wouldn't know it because the Trump administration is trying very hard to foster international cooperation. But the narrative is, that, this is all really the mean Donald Trump has made Xi Jinping act out. But what you're seeing is Europe realizing, okay, this is a threat. It's really undeniable at this point. You have the UK, for example, just banned Huawei, which is the communications firm that wants to own all of the fifth generation communications infrastructure in the world, which would be a grave danger to freedom. I think it's unrealistic for us to expect China to treat our citizens better than they treat their own people, for example. You see Germany, I think, recognizing now the competition from China, the need to stand up, and the European more generally. I think Japan sees it pretty clearly, sees the threat. And, Ben, if the three of us, if the three of those, the world's biggest economies, Japan, the United States, and the EU work together, it's very hard for China to take this divide and conquer approach. Really their strategy is, I would call it the three C's of co-option. They suck you in. This is companies and countries who are drawn in by the lure of short-term profits, access to the Chinese market, the benefits, the apparent benefits of Chinese investment. And then once you're sucked in, they coerce you. They coerce you to conform to the Chinese Communist Party's worldview. And to treat them differently than you would treat any other country. And they conceal all of this as just normal business practices. So I think what the Trump administration has done, and what I was proud to be a part of in that first year of the Trump administration, is to change fundamentally the perception of the Chinese Communist Party and to recognize that the assumptions on which our policy had been based for decades, that the assumption mainly that China, having been welcomed into the international order, would play by the rules, as it prospered, it would liberalize its economy, it would liberalize its form of governance. Okay, we know that's false now. So we need to move from the previous strategy of cooperation and engagement to one of competition and the recognition that China is a strategic rival.
We're speaking with General H.R. McMaster. His new book is Battlegrounds, The Fight to Defend the Free World. So let's shift topics over to the Middle East. So one of the great accomplishments of the Trump administration, actually, was something that most of the foreign policy establishment really did not like. And that was the open willingness to say that Israel is not only our chief ally in the Middle East, but that Israel's claims with regard to the Palestinians are disputed claims and that peace can be made from the outside in. This was considered a faux pas par excellence by the entire foreign policy establishment. The idea was that any peace that happened in the Middle East had to be a direct result of negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians. That obviously ended up being untrue. It turns out that in the aftermath of the Obama administration's kowtowing to the Iranian regime, that the possibility of an Arab-Israeli quasi-alliance had opened up, and that has now broken out into a series of peace agreements. What do you think we've learned about Middle Eastern politics in the last few years, and maybe some of the foibles of our foreign policy establishment on this particular topic?
Well, Ben, I mean, this has been a great achievement, right? I mean, it's very rare that good news comes out of the Middle East. And so we ought to take a minute to celebrate this with United Arab Emirates and Bahrain normalizing relationships with Israel. And I think what's super important to recognize is how powerful the name of it is, the Abraham Accords, which really pulls the carpet out from anybody who really wants to use religion as a way to radicalize populations and pit them against each other, which is really what Iran's strategy is to foment a sectarian war across the greater Middle East to advance their hegemonic designs. And as you mentioned, I think, the greatest achievement of the Obama administration was to empower Iran across the region in a way that intensified this humanitarian crisis across the region centered on the Syrian civil war and allowed them to place essentially a proxy army on the border of Israel. And I think the recognition that Iran is a threat not only to, the great Satan, the United States, the little Satan, Israel, but also to the Arab monarchies. And there's a very important realignment going. And, this wasn't by accident, Ben. I think if you go back to President Trump's speech in Riyadh, remember that trip, the first trip in his administration, and people were like, what the heck is Donald Trump doing, going to Saudi Arabia? Well, if you read that speech, and then you read King Salman's speech right after it, it was a complete reframing of Islam's relation to the West and a rejection of the terrorists and extremists who pervert religion to advance their criminal and murderous agenda. And so I think there's tremendous momentum here that has to be exploited no matter, who's sworn in on January 20th. And it's a real opportunity. It's a real opportunity to strengthen the security of Israel, but also to address this humanitarian and political crisis centered on the Middle East.
Speaking of General H.R. McMaster, former National Security Advisor to President Trump, his new book is Battlegrounds, The Fight to Defend the Free World. So turning to the election, General McMaster, obviously you had your differences with President Trump on many of these issues. The terminus of the relationship to the public did not look particularly warm, obviously. But when you look at the kind of variant foreign policy views of, for example, a Biden-Harris administration and a Trump-Pence administration, do you see any differences? And if so, what are they? I'm going to vote for Trump, and not only am I going to vote for Trump, one of the, I think, great achievements of the administration has been its foreign policy. So I'm quite skeptical, obviously, about the Biden foreign policy. I think he's been wrong on nearly every foreign policy issue of my lifetime. But how do you contrast the two campaigns?
Well, I think we already talked about the two most important areas where I think the Trump administration administered a long overdue corrective to U.S. foreign policy and the Obama administration foreign policy. That has to do with China and to the Middle East and on Iran. I think that the danger would be, if the Biden administration tries to turn the clock back to 2016. Hey, that would be disastrous. The Iran nuclear deal was, it was a political disaster masquerading, as a diplomatic victory. And so it'd be very important to keep the pressure on Iran. It'd be very important not to go back to this idea that cooperation with the Chinese Communist Party will give you cooperation on issues like climate change or human rights. I mean, China is the problem on climate change. China is the problem on human rights. And I think the areas where there wouldn't be much of a difference between a Biden administration and a Trump administration, both administrations have taken fundamentally flawed approaches. And I would say, the desire to disengage from complex challenges overseas, especially those in Afghanistan and Pakistan along that border where there are at least 20 terrorist organizations who want to murder our children, and disengaging from Iraq and Syria before ensuring the enduring defeat of ISIS and other jihadist terrorist groups who want to continue their murderous campaigns against all of us, right? So this is a modern day frontier, Ben. Between barbarism and civilization. Us staying engaged there doesn't mean a massive effort. It means enabling others to bear the brunt of that fight. So, for example, in Afghanistan, we lost 10 heroes this year who made the ultimate sacrifice to protect us, American servicemen. But 30 Afghan soldiers or police die every day trying to preserve the freedoms that they've enjoyed since the end of the Taliban regime in 2001. So I think the biggest problem in foreign policy kind of cuts across both parties. And it's this belief that our disengagement from these challenges would be an unmitigated good. What I'm worried about, Ben, is we go back to the Bill Clinton policy in 98. Remember, he fired a few cruise missiles against al-Qaeda and called it a day. And we know what happened on September 11, 2001, when we lost nearly 3,000 innocent lives.
We're speaking with General H.R. McMaster, former National Security Advisor in the Trump administration. Again, his new book is Battlegrounds, The Fight to Defend the Free World. So looking at the state of the American military now, when Trump took office, the Obama administration, the sequestration deal with the Republicans and Obama had really cut the military pretty significantly. How much better is the military off now after 4 years of the Trump administration than it was 4 years ago? And what needs to be done additionally to build up our military capacity?
Okay, Ben, we're much better off now. But the problem is there was a huge bow wave of deferred modernization, and at the same time in the military, the cuts in the size of the force had really created a situation where we just didn't have enough to go around to meet our security commitments and to deter conflict in key parts of the world. And so the increases in the defense budget have helped tremendously. But what's really needed now more than anything, Ben, is a predictable defense budget. We can't do multi-year budgeting now because of the Budget Control Act and what's called sequestration, which means there are automatic budget cuts that kick in. So what the Pentagon's doing in part is maintaining more antiquated systems that are really costly to maintain because it can't procure the new stuff it needs that would actually be more effective and be more efficient and more cost efficient as well. So I think that that's a very important reform. And I think also we need to address some new potential enemy or adversary capabilities. What Russia and China have done is they study this very closely. And they've invested in disruptive capabilities, counter space capabilities, offensive cyber capabilities, long range missiles, tiered and layered air defense capability, electronic warfare, right? To take apart what we see as our key advantages. So we need counters to those counters. And we need more for research and development in these areas to make sure we can remain safe. You know, the People's Liberation Army has increased their defense budget by 800% since the early 90s. I think it is the largest peacetime military buildup in history. So we can't be complacent. It really is worth the investment. And when you look at how much money the federal government spends, really, the defense budget is large, but our security problem set is large, and it's worth sustaining to make sure that we remain safe.
General H.R. McMaster, his book is Battlegrounds: The Fight to Defend the Free World. Really appreciate your time, General, and appreciate all you do.
Ben, thanks, and thanks for having me on, and thanks for your show and what you do to inform the American people of the key issues.
Hey, thank you so much. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to get into the latest on COVID, but first, let us talk about the fact that there's a lot going on in the world, a lot of it not particularly optimistic. Well, maybe you should be thinking about, life insurance. Like, you're a responsible human being. You want to make sure that your life insurance is taken care of. And Policy Genius can make this happen for you. Shopping for life insurance can seem like a daunting task. Policy Genius makes it easy. They combine a cutting-edge insurance marketplace with help from licensed experts. They'll save you time and money. Right now, you could save 50% or more by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance. When you're shopping for a policy that could last for more than a decade, the savings really start to add up. So here's how it works. First, head on over to PolicyGenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much coverage you need and compare quotes from top insurers.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
We'll be discussing the latest on COVID. Was COVID on our shores way earlier than anybody knew? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help now today at 800-837-0065. 800-837-0065. That's 800-837-0065.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Before you throw away those unused medicines,
those pills for your back pain or migraines,
just think for a minute.
When you throw them in the trash, they can become lethal in the wrong hands. There are better ways to dispose of your unused meds.
There are lots of police stations, local pharmacies, and hospitals that are approved to take in unused meds
and dispose of them safely so they don't end up in the wrong hands.
Our hands.
To find a medicine disposal site near you, visit www.safe.pharmacy. A public service message from the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, we've got some updates on the COVID outbreak that started at the White House, apparently. President Trump is now trying to figure out exactly where this came from. The original assumption was that it came from Hope Hicks. It may not, in fact, have come from Hope Hicks. President Trump yesterday suggested that actually there was a Gold Star event and perhaps one of the family members gave it to him. People are using this as an excuse to suggest that Trump is attacking military members. That's not what he is saying. You people are morons. Here was Trump talking about how he might have gotten COVID.
I figured there would be a chance that I would catch it. Sometimes I'd be with in groups of, for instance, Gold Star families. I met with Gold Star families. I didn't want to cancel that. And I can't back up, Marie, and say, give me room. I want room. Give me 12 feet. Stay 12 feet away when you talk. They come within an inch of my face sometimes. They want to hug me and they want to kiss me. And they do. And frankly, I'm not telling them to back up. I'm not doing it.
This is not a condemnation of Gold Star families. This is him literally saying that he wants to be close to Gold Star families. The media played this as though he was condemning Gold Star families, because this is how corrupt and stupid our media are. Well, here is an update on this particular situation. Chris Christie is apparently still in the hospital. Christie's condition remains unclear. He has not discussed his health or treatment online. Obviously, he falls into the obese category, and that puts him in a particularly dangerous situation with COVID. There's a new study out today suggesting that 72% of Americans who are overweight or obese are at increased risk with regard to COVID. It's really severe obesity that is the greatest risk, but if you are overweight, obviously you have more risk than if you are perfectly fit. According to a source familiar with his condition, he's in good spirits and getting good care. Christie suffers from asthma, which is already a pre-existing condition. Asthma and obesity are conditions that can worsen a coronavirus infection. Christie had tweeted on Saturday, I'm thankful for our hardworking medical professionals. Look forward to coming home soon. On Wednesday, multiple media outlets stamped out a briefly tweeted rumor that Christie was in an ICU and on a ventilator. That, of course, has not been confirmed in any way, so we'll continue to bring you updates on all of that. Meanwhile, it is now being suggested by the Wall Street Journal that the number of cases in circulation of COVID have been a lot higher for a lot longer than previously supposed. According to the Wall Street Journal, on March 4th, California officially recorded its first day with 10 new COVID-19 infections. It'd be on March 4th. In fact, researchers now estimate that California reached that mark more than a month earlier. It had spread across America before anybody reacted. It now appears that the first day that California officially had 10 cases was like February 1, late January. It means that this thing was spreading really, really quickly, really fast across the country before anybody even really knew about it. The Wall Street Journal interviewed disease detectives and reviewed hundreds of pages of new research to piece together how the coronavirus infiltrated the wealthiest nation on Earth. The latest genetic, epidemiological, and computational research suggests it was spreading inside the country before anyone started looking. Apparently, they say that retrospective testing in Ohio found 5 women and a man who had developed COVID-like symptoms in early January and had antibodies for the virus, qualifying as probable infections. They lived at opposite corners of the state up to 200 miles apart. Though the findings are not conclusive, modeling experts say they are consistent with the speed of the pandemic's later spread. Only in mid-January did screening begin on air travelers. While the country was still looking outward, researchers now believe the earliest infections in many states came mostly from travel within the United States. By late January, the virus was spreading to 10 new people every day in California, according to estimates from researchers at Northeastern University's Network Science Institute. Okay, what does this suggest? It may suggest that the disease has been far more widespread than previously believed. If this thing's been spreading longer, and lockdowns only happened for most places in the middle of March, what that would suggest is that a huge number of people have already been infected and they don't even know they'd already been infected, which would, of course, lower the infection fatality rate. It makes a difference in how we discuss the handling of this thing. Apparently, there was a tremendous lack of testing, of course, and researchers now think that we were catching a much lower percentage of symptomatic COVID-19 patients in mid-February than at the beginning of March. So what does that mean practically speaking? It means that the thing could already have hit tens of millions of people in the United States which again would mean that on an overall death level, while the thing is pretty deadly for people who are aged, it is really not nearly as deadly among people who are not as aged, which is something we already know, but now that is being confirmed. There has yet to be a system where a lockdown fully stamps out the virus and there isn't a second wave. So, you know, when people talk about what Trump could have done differently, I mean, right now they are experiencing a second wave in New York, as it turns out, and places even that were hard hit, as I had originally suggested, even those places are seeing very high positivity rates as the thing spreads throughout the community, which means that there's not much you can do in the absence of a vaccine, and we simply cannot lock down all of American life. So socially distance and wear a mask, that was always your best bet. And it was a particularly foolhardy gambit for people to suggest on the right that in order to return to business as normal, you should just kind of go willy-nilly out and do what you want, as opposed to socially distance, wear a mask, and then go out and do what you want. And if you're particularly vulnerable, then stay at home until a vaccine is available. All righty. We'll be back here on Monday with much, much more. We'll bring you all of the updates as we approach a possible second debate. Is that going to happen? Well, we'll let you know on Monday. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Federal judge blocking Texas Governor Greg Abbott's order dramatically reducing places where voters could drop off mail ballots during early voting. Abbott's order shuttered dozens of sites around the Lone Star State, limiting the number of drop-off locations to one per county. Meanwhile, in Ohio, the so-called ping-pong game in the courts over the one-per-county limit on the number of ballot drop boxes has turned back in the favor of the Republicans. A three-judge panel of the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals approving Republican Secretary of State Frank LaRosa's request to put on hold a lower federal judge's decision to block his directive. The next debate, a no-go Thursday scheduled tussle between President Trump and Joe Biden, has been canceled. However, the Nonpartisan Commission on Presidential Debate says the debate on October 22nd will go off as planned. Coronavirus emergency spending has tripled the U.S. federal budget compared with last year.
The Congressional Budget Office released the unofficial 2020 figures showing a record $3.1 trillion deficit in the just completed fiscal year. That equals 15% of the U.S. economy, the largest gap since 1945. On the expense side was $6.6 trillion, which included the combined Paycheck Protection Program and the increased federal supplemental unemployment benefits for the past 6 months that created $1 trillion of federal outlay. These numbers don't yet reflect the ongoing negotiations for more coronavirus relief aid, estimated between $1.6 and $2.2 trillion. George Bonzani reporting.
Also at townhall.com, President Trump getting his campaign back on track. He'll be holding an event at the White House on Saturday. Then Monday, he will be in Florida for what he calls a big rally. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Do you think all vitamin C's are the same? They're not. Ester C is a superior form of vitamin C. It's the only vitamin C with 24-hour immune support. And it lasts up to 2 times longer than regular vitamin C. So don't just settle for any vitamin C. Buy Ester C and support your immune health today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says that China's controversial security law reaches far beyond Hong Kong.
They're now
got a national security law that puts every citizen all across the world at risk, not even just those inside of Hong Kong, if they speak in a way that's inconsistent with what the Chinese Communist Party deems appropriate or useful.
Pompeo speaking with the Salem Radio Network. The secretary points to 12 Hong Kong democracy activists who are still being held in China. Russia now moving to stop the worst escalation of fighting in the separatist region of Nagorno-Karabakh in more than 25 years by hosting ceasefire talks. Russian President Vladimir Putin issuing a statement calling for a break in the fighting. He says that's between the Armenian and Azerbaijani forces. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Well, Russia has reported more than 12,000 new cases of coronavirus.
German government worried, fearful that the country famed for its successful handling of the pandemic could lose control. There are still far fewer reported cases here than in countries like France, Spain or Britain. But this morning, one leading scientist warned that on the current trajectory, daily cases could soon exceed 10,000. Germany's introducing new restrictions, including a ban on hotel stays for people from districts with high infection rates. The German health minister, who's refused to publicly countenance a second lockdown, said that the coming weeks would be a character test for German society.
The BBC's Jenny Hill. And French health authorities have ordered Paris hospitals to activate emergency measures to cope with fast-rising COVID patients in that country. More on these stories at townhall.com.
COVID is God's gift to the left.
They love death more than we love life. Kind of like Al-Qaeda and ISIS and the rest of the jihadi troglodytes from hell. You know, the Democrat Party, ISIS, what's the difference? Well, was it Friday already? Holy smoke! How did that happen? Well, happy Friday unto you, and welcome. We are at 888-630-9625. Isn't that a lovely phone number? So easy to remember. 888-630-9625 is the telephone number here. And the nuttiness never stops, does it? It's just a cascading hurricane of lunacy every day. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. So what is it that is happening today? We have all kinds of things going on the presidential front. We have Nanny Pelosi. You know, she of the you have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. She yesterday was teasing because it's all a television show. The whole political system is nothing more than a cable television show at this point, with the collusion of the cable networks working in concert with the Democrat Party and whoever their candidate may be, however awful their candidate may be, and their insane focus on President Trump, their disdain, that rhymes with I'm doing it like I'm like a rapper or something over here, and they're so crazy about President Trump that it doesn't matter what he does. It's the old he could cure cancer, and they'd condemn him for not doing it more quickly, and start listing the people that have died in the last 24 hours and blame him for it. It's a truly amazing time we live in. And I got an update for you on Harry's, the fun bar in Washington, D.C., where there were pro-police people. How dare you have pro-police? They're being investigated by the fascistas of the Washington, D.C. government, my elected government, my mayor, my city council. They're not very well. Man, oh, man. It is crazy. And the president, you know, he is today going to be doing the Rush Limbaugh program, the Rush Limbaugh radio program, and what they're calling a virtual rally, a virtual rally. And if that's not good enough, then the president is going to be on the Mark Levin show, I am told reliably, later on today. And then he's going to be on the Tucker Carlson show also later on. A little bit of quarantine goes a long way. And the president has been cleared by the doctors, you know, medical science. He's a man of science, and I'm a man of science. And science, the medical professionals, the doctors have assured the president and the world, the planet Earth and all of humanity, that the president is well enough to go out. He's testing negative, not showing any symptoms, going to continue to test probably repeatedly today and tomorrow. And the doctors are saying that he will be free to get back on the campaign trail as of tomorrow. And this infuriates the Democrats and the media, but I repeat myself, because they want him trapped in a basement like the cask of Amontillado, like they have Joe Biden trapped in a basement. Although yesterday Joe Biden, you saw, was trapped in an airplane hangar, and Kamala was standing about 15 feet away from him, apparently afraid to get close. He's very brittle. He's very fragile. Not expected to make it for too long. And he said he was asked, interestingly enough, by one of the reporters, I'm making quotation marks with my fingers, following him around to put out press releases for him. He was asked whether he's planning on packing the Supreme Court once again. And, you know, Kamala, she dodged the question and obfuscated and skirted and didn't answer at the vice presidential debate a couple of nights ago. Lunchbucket Joe at the presidential debate, he dodged and obfuscated, and then Chris Wallace pretended that he had answered the question because Chris Wallace missed the debate, even though, interestingly enough, he was there on stage with the debaters, but he's unaware of what took place in it. And Joe Biden, Lunchbucket Joe, he was asked about it again yesterday, and he once again said, well, I can't give you an answer because then it would be headlines if I gave you an answer. Well, that's the idea, actually. That's how this process works. Joe Biden has, I like to say sometimes that I've forgotten more secrets than most people will ever know, which I believe to be true. For some reason, I've always gotten a hold of a lot of secrets, and I've forgotten more secrets than most people will know. Well, with Joe Biden, it's kind of a political variation on that theme. And he's forgotten more about our system of government and the world than most people will ever know. I don't know if he ever knew in the first place, but whatever he did know, he's long since forgotten. And yesterday he once again said, well, I couldn't possibly tell you what I'm going to do with the Supreme Court until after the election. Well, yeah, sure, that's a good idea. Are you like a communist who's dead set on destroying America and our institutions? Well, I couldn't possibly tell you that until after the election. Are you planning on dismantling the Electoral College? Well, why would I tell you that before the – well, because these are what people are, make their votes that decided on the – and he says, no, I couldn't possibly. And overwhelmingly, the news media says, oh, yeah, that's a good answer. That's real fine. You shouldn't – he's like Billy Mummy in the Twilight Zone episode where they turn you into a ear of corn and turn you into an ear of corn and send you into the cornfield if he doesn't like what you say. And the news media, they're afraid that Joe Biden's going to turn him into ears of corn. It's really something. And they nod and they say, oh, yeah, that's real good. That's real good. Yeah, it's good that you don't tell people what you're going to do with the Supreme Court. Because, you know, who wants to become an ear of corn in the cornfield? And it's an amazing thing to watch. There were, I think, four reporters yesterday that raised an eyebrow just ever so slightly and said, gosh, is that really how it's supposed to work? And they're not sure either, because most of them have Newsheimers as well. And if they ever knew anything about the Constitution, they've long since forgotten it also. Speaking of which, Nancy Pelosi yesterday threatening to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove the president of the United States, and we're waiting on bated breath, on tinderhooks, waiting for Nancy Pelosi to come out and clarify what she meant. But it appears that she's planning on creating a commission of commissars or czars or something to review whether the president should be removed from office because he's recovering from the Wuhan. And he, like Chris Cuomo, is taking some steroids. I think they might be different. They're not anabolic, I don't think. And they say, well, he's a Nancy Pelosi who is buggy as a nut. I mean, she's like your crazy aunt, and you wouldn't give her the remote control, much less the car keys. And she's the Speaker of the Stinking House at this point, which is technically the title, officially the Speaker of the Stinking House. And she, as long as she's in charge anyway. And she said the 25th Amendment, removing the president, putting the vice president in charge, what the mechanics would be, it's impossible to say. But she wants to create a commission. You know how they are. They have some commissars, and it's just amazing. Speaking of which, you know, the commission, the commissars on presidential debates, Frank Farenkoff, of all people, kind of amazing. They just announced without consulting with either presidential campaign that we're going to cancel the next debate, as far as we know. Maybe they're working in cahoots with the Biden campaign. We don't know for sure. But they, there will be no debate. There will be no debate in the conventional sense, but we'll hold a virtual debate because, well, we don't need to explain. Don't you know who we are? We're the commissars of presidential debates. And we don't ask. We tell. We order. We have authoritarian, dictatorial tendencies, and we're going to trot them out every chance we get. So why would you consult with the campaigns when you're talking about taking a normal debate and turning it into a Zoom call, which, as I was describing yesterday, raises all kinds of questions about what Joe Biden, who we know has used teleprompters in the past during live interviews and at other times, why wouldn't they find some way to cheat? I think cheat is the word that we would use in this context. And the news media doesn't care because, you know, why would they care? They don't really care about anything. They don't defend the, for well, except getting Democrats elected. They don't care about the First Amendment, most certainly. Like, you know, the Democrats going after the Orthodox Jews in New York, we're going to shut down your synagogues. It's like, you know, hey, Kristallnacht can't be far behind. This is good stuff. It's not like it's a First Amendment issue or anything like that. Freedom of speech, free practice of religion, freedom to assemble. You know, none of that, as none of that comes into play. But the Democrats and the news media, I repeat myself again, they don't defend the First Amendment. They don't. We don't have a media that stands up for the First Amendment. I'm not sure they know. In fact, we learned that McGilla Gorilla there, Fredo Cuomo, a while back, is so dumb. The man is so dumb. He went to law school. His law school, Fordham, should ask for the diploma back. He said two things. He said that the First Amendment doesn't defend hate speech. What a moron. It's the only thing it defends. What, it defends popular speech? Is that what, you moron? First of all, define hate speech. It doesn't have a meaning. It's a relative meaning. It depends on who you ask. And he's such a dummy that it doesn't defend hate speech. It's the whole purpose of the First Amendment is to defend unpopular speech. Now they come up with this hate speech. It's an idiotic leftist term designed to be brought to bear to trample your right to free speech. Because of all that good stuff. And then, of course, he said when you, he's talking about the left rioting all over the country and burning cities and attacking the police and looting, and which they continue to do, even in Washington, in Wisconsin yesterday. And, wait till you hear about this mayor from Portland, the mayoral candidate from Portland. But he said, where does it say it's supposed to be peaceful? And it says it right in the First Amendment, you know, the right to peaceably assemble. But he's got a law degree, and he's a multimillion-dollar-a-year journalist. Why would he have any awareness of the First Amendment? You know, that's not something that these people have any interest in or any awareness of. And speaking of the debate was a huge success in terms of people tuning in. A gigantic number of people tuned in to watch the big debate. And the biggest winner of all, and this is kind of interesting, but don't read too much into it, was Fox News. Fox News had the greatest number of people tuning in to watch the debate. Now, that doesn't guarantee a Trump victory on Election Day or anything, but it is a pretty good indicator of the way the wind is blowing, I suppose. And it is a fascinating development, as they say. It's not a revolting development. It's a fascinating development. But the ratings were really great, and Fox News did really great in the ratings. ABC Network came in second. Nearly 58 million people watch VP debate. Big jump from 2016. the Reuters snooze agency trotted out last night or this morning. And it's kind of interesting because, well, people are engaged and want to hear more. And it was overall, generally speaking, a worthwhile effort, I would say. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence debate with Democrat Kamala Harris attracted 57.9 million TV viewers, the second highest audience ever for a matchup between vice presidential candidates, according to Nielsen data released on Thursday. And that's kind of interesting all by itself. It's for 56 million, I think, last time around. And big stuff, 2020 vice presidential ratings. Fox News, ABC are most watched networks. Now, this is kind of interesting because it was never cable in the past. It was never cable news that had the highest ratings. It was always the broadcast networks because you don't have to have cable and all that. But in this case, it was, in fact, Fox News that had the largest number of viewers, and they were, pretty much stand alone out there, I've got to say, with the TV audience. And that's a big deal. It is. That's big news, and it's important. But it doesn't mean that Fox News wins the day and then you win the election, because it's a little more complicated than that, I've got to say. Did you see that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez objects to being called AOC, at least as of night before last with the vice presidential debate? She was fine with being called AOC until Mike Pence, vice president of the United States, referred to her as AOC. And then suddenly, of course, it was very bad news. Because Mike Pence can't call her AOC. That diminishes her as a woman. I am woman, hear me roar, or whine, or complain, or whatever. Amazing stuff, especially with all those people watching. But the Fox News channel had the big win night before last, 11.898 million viewers. With ABC, broadcast free TV, rabbit ears, the whole thing, coming in second with 9.8 million viewers. Now, it's 11.9 versus 9.9, 2 million more viewers on CBS than on ABC. But you shouldn't really overinterpret that, because ABC is where lefties go. And then CNN got 7.7 million. Then MSNBC got 6.9 million. NBC got 6.8 million. CBS got 5.3 million. Those are all Democrat channels. PBS got 2.3 million, and they're free everywhere you go. Also, well, they're not free. We pay for them out of U.S. taxpayer dollars, $500 million a year to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. But so that's good that Fox won. It's good for Fox. But if you add up all the left-wing networks together, then the Democrats are gonna declare victory on that one too, because we got that going for you. Yeah, AOC suddenly objects to being called AOC. Which is kind of amusing, kind of pathetic, kind of sad. And then this is really the headline out of the whole thing. Did you see the USA Today poll? You know, the moderator, I'm making quotation marks with my fingers again, the moderator, Susan Page, she works for USA Today, and she's Nancy Pelosi's biographer. They're working together right now on her biography. No bias to be found anywhere. Update on Steve Scully's bias, the C-SPAN. The guy who's supposed to moderate the next debate, which may not happen. Update on his political bias, too. But the USA Today poll that they put out on Al Gore's amazing internet, this is just great. Classic.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
You know, I was listening to the 12 Dreams of Dr. Sardonicus the other day, and you know the best way to listen? Using a pair of premium wireless earbuds, especially if you can get them at less than half the price of the other guys. That's why I recommend wireless earbuds from Raycon. I love Raycons because they fit so well in your ears, and they don't have little stems and wires sticking out of them. Raycon's brand new everyday E25 earbuds are their best ones yet. 6 hours of playtime on a charge, seamless, easy Bluetooth pairing, and a nice noise-isolating fit. The company was founded by Ray J and celebrities. I mean, listen to this. From Melissa Etheridge to Mike Tyson to Cardi B, all love Raycons. Raycon has a 45-day free return policy, so you can make sure these are the wireless earbuds for you. And now, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/plant. That's buyraycon.com/plant for a special 15% discount on Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/plant.
Today on Hey Culligan, the best things in life are free. Water tests. Let's go to Candace.
Hey Culligan, how do I learn more about my water?
Candace, let me just test the waters here.
Okay.
Literally test your water.
Oh.
For free.
Free?
Free, Candace. In-home water tests for free. So you know more about your water and how to make it better with Culligan water. And Candace.
Yeah?
We're already on the way.
Oh, good.
Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Geico presents Monster Counseling.
Dracula, tell me how you're feeling.
No one understands how lonely it is. No one will even let me into their house. I knock and I knock, but they ignore me.
Uh-huh. What else?
I look in the mirror and I don't even see myself anymore.
If you don't see yourself clearly, can you really expect others to?
I'm having a breakthrough.
It's not easy to be a vampire, but with Geico, it's super easy to switch and save hundreds on your car insurance.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number
303030. Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Yeah, USA Today poll. Their polling unit should be disbanded. In fact, the newspaper should be disbanded. Right now, though, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Dan calling from Kansas City, Missouri. Daniel, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris. Love the show.
Thanks, Dan.
I noticed that Democrats are all of a sudden talking about the 25th Amendment.
Yes.
And removing the president for mentally or physically being incapable of doing his job.
Uh-huh.
And it made me wonder why that's happening. I have a different take on that.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if the target is actually Biden. If he gets elected, since he's kind of dismissed the Democratic platform, if they're going to use that on him and get their real candidate.
It's very interesting.
What do you think?
I thought the same thing this morning. I was reading through this. That's fascinating, and I didn't know you were going to say that. But honestly, I was thinking the same thing this morning. They're bringing up the 25th Amendment. How likely is it if Biden wins that Republicans would start to invoke the 25th Amendment? Maybe even Democrats would jump on board. They'd let Republicans take the lead. Then Democrats would quietly, passively endorse this in order to get Kamala into the Oval Office. That's what you're thinking, right?
Yeah, Democrats have shown they're willing to do anything, literally anything, to get their way.
Yeah.
And
power.
Put it past them. Yeah, I wouldn't put it past them to pull that on Joe Biden if he ends up winning.
You know, it is a fascinating question that you raise. There's no doubt about it. Because when you start throwing around this really, again, radical, extreme measure that was to be brought to bear under only the most extraordinary of circumstances, like a president has been completely incapacitated by a stroke or something like that, and the president has to be replaced because even though technically still owns the office, can no longer carry out the duties of the office. And that's the purpose of the 25th Amendment, where you're medically, physically incapacitated. And Pelosi is such a leftist political clown car that they just whip this stuff out. Look, they're talking about packing the Supreme Court, getting rid of the Electoral College, and destroying the United States of America. These are their stated goals.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Oh! The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
All right, so USA Today. Now, keeping in mind that the woman, Susan Page, that was moderating, I'm making quotation marks with my fingers, the vice presidential debate a couple of nights ago, she's with USA Today. She's their Washington bureau chief or political chief or whatever she is. Chief, the senior chief operator of completely crazy. And USA Today, after the with their own person hosting, let's say, the debate, they put out a poll online. They put out a poll online right after the debate. And there was only one problem with the poll. See, USA Today, and it has the USA Today banner on it right there, right? And they tweeted it out, and it says, it has the question, who won the vice presidential debate? Question mark. And then a pound sign VP debate. That's what they have, pound sign VP debate. And then they give you four choices, and you can choose to check one of the four choices. And surprise, surprise, listen to the choices. The first choice is Kamala Harris. So that's the first one there. It's the easiest one to click on. The second choice, who won the VP debate from USA Today? The second choice is Joe Biden. Well, wait, Joe Biden is not actually, he was not in the debate. He was not a part of the debate at all. I don't know why you would ask whether Joe Biden won the debate since he wasn't in the debate, but he is a former vice president, and they see it's vice presidential debate. They've got Kamala Harris, USA Today, and the moderator of the debate, I guess, have already decided that she's the vice president, and then the second vice president choice is Joe Biden. Third is the pesky fly, because they love the fly thing. You know, flies follow Hillary Clinton wherever she goes. She's got a swarm. She's like the pig's head in Lord of the Flies. And it's really, that's how the got a name is from Hillary Clinton. The whole Democrat Party is sort of Lord of the Flies. It's why they're burning cities and chanting and putting body makeup on and running around naked with spears and cities burning stuff. It's completely crazy. It's Antifa. Oh, and there's a great Antifa story today, too. Here's the fourth option. I didn't watch. Okay. The USA Today, that's the newspaper of some repute, a nationwide organization, and their person moderated the debate. And then they afterward put out a poll who won the vice presidential debate. And your choices are Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, the pesky fly, and I didn't watch. Anybody? Anything missing here? You got anything missing? And Ted Cruz noticed, the senator from Texas, the most brilliant law student that Alan Dershowitz has ever had at Harvard Law School. I think that's what he said, isn't it? And Ted Cruz tweeted out the poll with the choices being Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, the pesky fly, and I didn't watch. This is our media. I think I stopped, per one of our callers earlier this week, calling them the news media because it's too generous. This is the fourth estate in the United States of America. And this is perfectly mainstream. It's not like this, oops, we forgot to include Joe Biden's name in the poll when, hey, who won the Trump-Biden debate? And you can choose between Trump and Pence, who wasn't in the debate. You're like, Joe Biden wasn't in this debate. It's pretty amazing. And Ted Cruz retweeted the USA Today poll and said, think the media has an agenda? Mike Pence isn't even listed as an option in their poll. And after Ted Cruz tweeted this out and USA Today noticed they had already taken more than 15,000 votes, and Kamala Harris was doing very well in the poll since Mike Pence wasn't an option. She was doing very well in the poll. And then Ted Cruz tweeted out the fake USA Today poll. I mean, it was the real poll, but the fake USA Today is fake. And then they put it out again. They put it out a second time, and this time, Mike Pence's name was generously added as an option. Isn't that fascinating? And when they generously added Mike Pence as an option, now the whole thing is screwed because Ted Cruz tweeted it out and blah, blah. But once it was actually put out there where you had Mike Pence as a choice, then it became Kamala Harris with 22.8% and Mike Pence with 64.6%. The pesky fly got 6.5%, and then I didn't watch got 6.1%. Now, if you didn't watch, why would you participate in a poll saying I didn't watch? That seems to me like an IQ test. And hey, I'm going to say I didn't watch in the poll about who won the debate. What? Every day's an IQ test, honestly. But that's an every day's an IQ test at USA Today, too. And you wonder why people like me and so many hundreds of millions of others, like Blaze calling from Bogota, Colombia the other day, called to say, what's wrong with the American news media? What happened to the, sorry, I said news. What happened to the American media, to the Fourth Estate? Why is it so awful? Why is it so corrupt? And Blaze in Bogota is looking at the American media and saying, what is wrong with these people? And they just keep on coming. They just keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on with the madness, the insanity that never stops. They are what we have. Gosh, I wish we had a better media. The New York Times is another example of the corrupt left-wing Democrat Party in the tank shill front group for the Democrat Party media that we have. And Ben Domenech tweeted out a fun item from the New York Times. It's fun because it reveals them for who they are, as if we needed more of that. The New York Times published this bizarre and embarrassing conspiratorial claim that President Trump was standing in front of a, quote, digital backdrop, end quote, in a front page story this morning, then scrubbed it without noting any corruption. Any correction. They didn't note any correction or any corruption. And the New York Times, Ben posted what the New York Times published, says, this is President Trump made the video from the Rose Garden, basically, the West Wing behind him, the Oval Office behind him, saying, I feel great. We played some audio from it yesterday. He made the video day before yesterday, and we played some audio from it yesterday. And he said, I feel great, and I'm going to make sure that everybody in America gets the same medical treatment that I got and get it without charge. And that the drug that he got and the cocktail that he got. And he's like, I can't tell you how much better I feel and how wonderful this drug was. I was feeling, kind of moopy. And then suddenly after taking these medications, I felt great. And he made the video, and he's standing in the Rose Garden. And there's lighting, you know, and this is what confused the newspaper people. Newspaper people are easily confused when it comes to television things. I think most of them don't own televisions or know how they work. Maybe they have them in their homes, but don't know how to make them go on or something like that. The New York Times typed on behalf of the Biden campaign and the Democrat Party. In the video, Mr. Trump was shown on the south lawn of the White House. Really, it's the Rose Garden, not technically the South Lawn, but the Rose Garden is part of the broader South Lawn, I guess. Hundreds of feet away from the mansion. Even that's not true. That's not true. But it appeared to be a digital backdrop, as leaves blowing in the wind behind him could be seen repeating on a loop. Now, none of this is true unless you're on LSD. If you're on LSD, then you might think that the video, it's, hey, man, I'm, you know, like waving your hand in front of your face over and over again to watch the trails. This is New York Times. Judd Deere, a White House spokesman, insisted that he was definitely outside. What are you supposed to say when the New York Times says, you know, that they're having hallucinations and they think that the leaves are on a loop? Maybe it's like the wind. And the leaves are on branches, and the branches are blowing back and forth in a repeated fashion, as is very often the case. And, you know, I know you live in Manhattan, and there are trees in Central Park. You should go check them out, because it's interesting what the wind does with leaves and trees. You guys should go examine that. Most of us learned that by the time we were 5 or 6 years old. But at the New York Times, not so bright. These are, you know, they all go to Harvard, and then they get jobs at the New York Times. And they're just not bright. They just don't know much. Mr. Trump has not appeared before news cameras since his return from Walter Reed on Monday evening. Since his return. Yeah, he appeared before news cameras upon his return, but not since his return. Technically true, but it makes it sound like it's something sinister. So the New York Times is having hallucinations, mass group hallucinations, that the leaves blowing in the wind behind him could be seen repeating on a loop. Honestly, you guys need to go into detox. This is concerning. You're hallucinating again. You know, like Hillary's going to win and the leaves are repeating on a loop. Amazing. All right, let's go to a telephone call, Michael. Let's go to Joanne calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Joanne, you're on the Chris Plant Show. Joanne.
Oh, okay. Hello.
Oh, I apologize. I'm so sorry. It's Joni, and I apologize, Joni.
Yeah, that's okay, Joni. Right now I'm listening to you from Nashville, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And when your show opened this morning, uh-huh. I heard your intro with Jane Fonda quoting that uh-huh. coronavirus is God, or COVID is God's gift to the left, and chuckling.
That's right.
And I thought, gosh, you know, I do know that COVID has seemed like a political tool of Biden and Harris. That's all they talked about in the debates. And it just was really just making my blood boil that, you know, the pain and suffering of America really is their political tool. And when Jane Fonda said this, and I heard it, and I thought, what, none of my lovely friends out there who listen to the, you know, mainstream media are ever going to hear this. How do we get some movement going that we want Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to denounce Jane Fonda? And how she is chuckling over the pain and suffering of the American people.
Well, that is a really great question because, you know, if this were, and she is a proxy or a surrogate for the Biden campaign, as you might expect, because she is a traitorous, treasonous communist. She's Hanoi Jane. That's
from way back when.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, one of the OGs of the Democrat Party's, you know, original gangster, like an OC, original commies of the Democrat Party. And betraying mm-hmm. her country before it was cool, you know, and now all the Democrats
right.
are betraying their country because they've made it cool. But I got to tell you, because this audio is so important, you know, Michael, I think we should play the long version of Hanoi Jane that we played yesterday and then play the short version again. Because, look, she is a surrogate for the Biden campaign. And if any surrogate for the Trump campaign came out and announced when Nancy Pelosi was infected with the Wuhan Red Death, and, you know, God bless her, I hope that she's not infected with the Wuhan Red Death, or if when Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Gator, had died, a proxy for the Trump campaign had come out and giggled and declared victory, I think every Republican in the country would be dogged by screaming packs of fake reporters who are really Democrats with press passes to condemn the statement of whoever that proxy was. But since you mentioned it, Joni, and I apologize again, Joni, let me play for you. you and for your lefty friends who probably aren't listening, the long version, this is what Jane Fonda said, and it was posted on Al Gore's Amazing Internet, and she loves death more than we love life and is happy. She doesn't believe in God. She's a godless communist. They murdered God long ago, and they recreated God in their own image instead of the reverse. You know, that's God created us in his image. No, the left killed God and then made themselves God in their own image. Here's Hanoi Jane Fonda declaring that the Wuhan Red Death, unleashed by the communists who she spent her life supporting, is a gift from a dog as her co-pilot.
You know, I just think COVID is God's gift to the left.
this is
a terrible thing to say. I mean, I think it was a very difficult thing to send down to us, but it has ripped the Band-Aid off who he is and what he stands for and what is being done to average people and working people in this country. We can see it now. People who couldn't see it before, you know, they see it now. And we have a chance to harness that anger and make a difference. So I feel so blessed to be alive right now.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should start, since it's God's gift and you can harness that anger, maybe you should start looting and burning cities and trashing businesses belonging to minorities and trashing cities that won't come back for decades, neighborhoods mostly filled with people of color that won't come back for decades. Maybe. And then, of course, there's the short version, which I want to make my ringtone.
COVID is God's gift to the left.
and she giggles. Now, Joni, I
giggle
don't
makes
this...
it more sinister.
Yeah, the giggle. Yeah, the giggle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. She sounds like, as Michael said yesterday, sounds like the Pillsbury Doughboy. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like an evil, satanic Pillsbury Doughboy. And that's really today's Democrat Party. Listen, it's not just Hanoi Jane either, Joni. It's I read a poll the other day that... And it was a Politico left-wing poll, so that makes it, you know, not biased. It's biased in favor of the left. And what was it? 40% of Democrats were happy that President Trump, 40% of, this is my recollection, 40% of Democrats happy that President Trump had the Wuhan Red Death. And, of course, they're hoping that he dies. And then you got to keep this in context because the left has murdered more than 100 million people over their political beliefs in the last 100 years since the Bolshevik Revolution, 1917, which Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, I think, participated in. And it is a gruesome bunch, today's Democrat Party. Another thing I'd like to ask, Joni, is today's Democrat Party closer on the political spectrum to John F. Kennedy or to Lee Harvey Oswald?
And definitely Harvey. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a little bit of a joke question, but until you think about it and then you realize it's really not. He was Mr. Fair Play for Cuba, Lee Harvey Oswald, you know, married his wife Marina, the Russian Soviet, she's a Soviet, and brought her here to the United States. And the other, Lee Harvey still has, I think, 3 kids living in the United States. He left 3, I believe that's right, 3 kids, and I believe all 3 of them are alive and well and living in the United States. Not that they're bad people, you know, they didn't do anything wrong. It's their misfortune. But it's a fascinating time, isn't it, Joni?
Definitely, definitely. But how do we get everyone else to hear Jane Fonda's little comment with the sinister giggle at the end? How do we get that out there and demand that the campaign denounce her? How do you do that?
You know, I guess that Peter Ducey has to ask Joe Biden about it because CNN, I will promise you, I haven't checked. I'll bet a dollar right now. CNN hasn't mentioned it. MSNBC hasn't mentioned it. The Washington Post, the New York Times haven't mentioned it. The LA Times hasn't mentioned it. I'm guessing that it just has not mentioned. It hasn't been mentioned. Because the media works for them. How do you get it? It's the constant struggle. It's the constant dilemma, Joni, is how do you get the news out to the people when the Fourth Estate is as profoundly and uniformly corrupt as they are? Again, she's a proxy, and it's not like she's some unknown proxy. She's Barbarella. She's Hanoi Jane. She is Clute. You know, she's not Clute, but she was the hooker, appropriately. That was a typecasting, I think, at that time. And how do you get it out? I get it out. Talk radio gets it out. I don't even know if Fox News has talked about it. I assume that someone has on Fox News. It's red pill, blue pill time. There's reality. I live in reality land. And then there's CNN, which lives in the North Korean blue pill cocoon, and they keep the truth from the people. And if you get your news from CNN, MSNBC, you have no idea what's going on. I say this as a 17-year veteran of CNN. Lives with married to a 10-year veteran of CNN. And CNN is just, it is a giant 24-hour-a-day lie that is slaving on behalf of the Democratic Party. But thanks for raising the question, Joni.
COVID is God's gift to the left.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
The really big fall sale has begun at Gap Factory and GapFactory.com. Almost everything's 50 to 70% off, and Doorbusters start at just $10 right now. Find it all at Gap Factory or GapFactory.com through October 12th.
Liberty. Liberty Mutual Insurance Company customizes your renter's insurance, so you only pay for what you need.
Great. As a minimalist, I need simple insurance.
Nice place. No furniture?
Nothing sparked joy, except for this fruit bowl.
Well, with Liberty Mutual, you only pay for what you need, so there's that.
I mean, look. So beautiful. So empty again.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty.
With United Healthcare Medicare Advantage plans, there's so much to take advantage of, like $0 copays on hundreds of prescription drugs.
Wow.
Pick up at your local pharmacy or take advantage of free delivery. To learn more, visit AdvantageWow.com.
Wow.
That's AdvantageWow.com.
$0 copay may be restricted to particular tiers, preferred medications, or mail order prescriptions during the initial coverage phase and may not apply during the coverage gap or catastrophic stage. Free delivery with preferred mail order pharmacies.
Wow.
Third floor study hall.
My dining room table. Home room Monday and Tuesday. My living room Wednesday to Friday.
Wherever school happens for you this year, Staples has amazing prices on everything your student needs. This week, get 20% off copies and prints for school. That's 20% off posters, worksheets, schedules, and reports. Shop in-store or pick up curbside. School on, save on. Staples. Visit staples.com/schoolprinting for coupon. In-store only. Exclusions apply. Ends 10/31. Curbside available in most stores.
Hi, I'm Kelsey Grammer. Wounded Warrior Project supports injured veterans by connecting them with fellow warriors, by serving them through mental health and wellness programs, and by empowering them to live on their own terms. No one should face a battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help now today at 800-837-0065. 800-837-0065. That's 800-837-0065.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit GiveWestwood.org, GiveWestwood.org.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
So Nancy Pelosi yesterday, and we played the audio yesterday when she came out in her kind of pumpkin orange thing with her pumpkin mask and apples all over it or something. And you see her hair? Her hair is kind of weird. I noticed this morning she's got long black roots growing out. I don't know how that happens. And then kind of frosted tip. I think maybe she's got a spray can in her drawer, something like that. And she hasn't been back to that that hair place since the video camera captured her walking around without a mask while she was lecturing everybody for not wearing a mask. Remember that? Then Senator of California again, Dianne Feinstein, in the airport terminal waiting for a private jet transport. Very, very wealthy woman. And she, too, not wearing a mask. All the flight crew have to wear masks, but she doesn't wear a mask because, you know, Marie Antoinette complex here and Marie Antoinette syndrome, and they just don't think that the rules apply to them. And the reason they don't think the rules apply to them is because they don't, you see. It's like Joe Biden. And this is one of the biggest stories of the day. Joe Biden was again asked yesterday, hey, what are you going to do about packing the Supreme Court? And again, he said, well, if I answered you, you know, that would make headlines. So I'm not going to answer you until after the election.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.